If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
Steve Holmes, Jim
Fisher. This is where I'm at, and like, all that separates me from the projects is a fucking chain link fence.
And Tyler Fudge.
Have anything else to talk about on
this? About this show?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Mil Mascaris more?
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 220 of Suplex City Limits for July 1st, 2019. My doctor said I need a bacchiotomy. It's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious. He wants to talk to Samson, my co-host.
I'm the doctor, and I want him to fuck it out of me. Give me your bacchiotomy, baby. I'm Tyler Fudge.
There you go. Yeah, we're a fucking couple days late here, but, you know, back problems.
My back.
Get away from me, bitch. Suplex City Limits available for listening.
Sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. I totally missed the obvious cue for this.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
Totally missed it.
Available for listening where podcasts are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at the Federation. If you like the show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. Starting today, as a recording, Monday, July 1st until the 5th, you can save 20% by using the coupon code America.
America. Don't get confused. It's not America. It's America.
Yeah. They have new shipping for international rates. Logical shipping for international orders. Finally, Pro Wrestling Tees. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Do they consider Canada international?
Yeah, you guys got new shipping too.
Oh, sweet.
$7.99 for one shirt, $11.99 for two shirts, and so on. $15 for three. It's way better than it fucking used to be.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely is.
So if that's been a hang up for you, maybe
well, like
check
every
it
time
out.
I go to buy a shirt, it would, especially like with the conversion rate, and oh, then yeah, adding right. the shipping on it, like one yeah. shirt turns into almost like $40, and it's like yeah. that's not worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it. Or you can donate on our PayPal, suplexcitylimits@gmail. Like bad motherfuckers, big body Sam, and deep in your snatch, he's Cody Hatch. You can also become a producer on our Patreon. Get yourself a shout out at the start of the show, like Caleb. You should see the size of his organ field, Morganfield. He's not balding. Christopher Spaulding, C Money, B Rad Brad, the Smack It Down podcast. Much love to our Australian brothers. Check them out. They have a first-hand take on the fucking Melbourne show. Melbourne. Melbourne.
Yeah. I don't know how you fucking say it.
We'll hear a little bit from Viva La JD later on.
Yes,
post show. We also got better than Terry Deshaun Balea, infamous Chris Savage, kick-ass Keith Martin, the Rice and Roni Jabroni Tyloney, Saini and Jackson Jumpin' Jeremy Fultz, and plain vanilla Martin Corns. This week on the show, we will be talking AEW Fighter Fest. What else we got? Mark Tank, top three. Later on, I'll be giving a review of Bloodstained Ritual of the Night by request.
Wait, what?
I was requested that I review it because I've been playing it. It's a new game.
Oh.
So I'll give a little mini review of that.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, dude. It's a tits game. We'll do that later on, somewhere at the end of the show. So.
Okay.
Let's start it off, as we do every week, with this week's top three after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, how can I get muscles like you guys? Whoa! Jesus, oh, steroids.
You can start by getting in shape with a Hulkamania workout set.
Great!
It's got everything you need. Head and wristband. A jump rope for warming up. A hand gripper for power. Dumbbells for strength. An exercise poster.
And a needle.
And even Hulk's own workout tape.
The Hulkamania workout set. You from LJN.
Are you in shape yet?
Yeah!
Suplex City Limit
Top.
It's the Suplex City Limits Top 3, our top 3 matches of the week. Let's start this bitch off with Ospreay versus Eagles from New Japan.
Yes, we had a bald eagle taking on an Ospreay. I mean, logically thinking, you'd think an eagle would win, you know, just being a superior bird of prey. But, you know, obviously this is Ospreay.
Is Ospreay a bird?
I think so, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, I've never heard of that in my life.
I got to see now. I'm going to detour this for a second. Ospreay, bird.
This motherfucker. It
God damn, you're
not,
fucking right. Ospreay, the beautiful flight of the Ospreay bird of prey hunting. Yeah,
wow.
Boy. And they kind of look like an eagle, or maybe more like a falcon. They're also called seahawks or river hawks or fish hawks. That's an osprey. So, you know, an eagle, you know, just a little bit better overall.
He doesn't know shit about geography, but zoology. Step back,
buddy,
motherfucker.
Buddy, it was brought to my attention that I should do a teaching course on this channel about geography. So maybe, you never know, one of these days you might get a surprise geography with Taller Fudge. Who knows?
The capital of Spain is Berlin.
And now I will teach you about the Berlin Wall that separated Spain.
From China.
It tell runs about, all the way. Well, it was built in the 1800s. Little people knew about it, but it was a secret thing.
About the match, you goof.
Oh.
I'm like, tell us about it.
Well, the match was a really good match. Everybody's raving about it. It was really the only good match on that whole show. That whole show was garbage, except for this. I really had no need to see it.
New Japan doesn't care. They're just like, we're not going to break out the good shit.
No. Here's the show. You'll get what we give you. Peace. But no, this match was really good. Obviously, you had Robbie Eagles being the hometown guy. I don't know if he was legit hometown, but I mean, he's from Australia. Will Ospreay spent a lot of time in Australia. Obviously, Robbie Eagles would be the babyface. That's the way the crowd treated it for the most part. But the main part of the match is how at the end, Robbie Eagles, who is a part of Bullet Club, or I believe he's a part of Bullet Club, turned on his faction and joined Chaos after Switchblade wanting him to hit Ospreay with a chair. So,
yeah, I'll tell you something, man. I've been following New Japan, obviously, doing this podcast for years.
Yes.
And I still have very little understanding of these factions.
Me
and
too.
Who, aside from the major players, are in them and what the purpose is. You know, I don't
we
know.
We need but... Chris Charlton on this show to tell us about these factions. But I do believe Chaos was created by Nakamura. It was originally a heel faction. And it was basically to take on, I believe, I don't know, Tanahashi, I assume. But that's all I really know. Bullet Club, obviously, everybody knows the origin of Bullet Club. But yeah.
Love WWE. Been sucking their own cocks all week about this Nakamura versus Rollins match. You don't get to see. Like,
no.
Fuck, trust us. It was really awesome.
Yeah, just trust us. Seth Rollins is the man.
Yeah. Fuck, we'll talk about that motherfucker later. So moving on from there.
Oh, you're waiting for me?
I mean, you know.
Okay, well, the Elite taking on the Lucha Brothers and Laredo Kid in a 6-man all-star match.
Yeah. This is fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, this was just everything. If you like this style of wrestling, because not everybody does, but.
Oh, I know
this...
a lot of people who don't.
Yeah. It's very easy to see it on Twitter. This is basically the match that you wanted to get.
Spalding doesn't like it.
No, he doesn't. He hates it.
I actually watched this show with somebody who is a lapsed fan from the WCW era, who got into Lucha Underground. I got him into that. And, like, they watched through that. So it was interesting how he was like, no, he's like, the Bucks do too much. They try to do too much. You know, I'm like, fair. Maybe. There was some sloppy shit in here, but there was a lot of insane shit, dude.
Yeah. And it I don't want to come, because I'm going to come off as a sympathizer when I say this, but I don't mean it as a sympathizer. Nick Jackson rarely fucks something up, so I give him a pass on that one. Because, like, everybody, it seemed like everybody was having trouble with those ropes. I don't think the ropes were tight enough.
Yeah, it did seem like some people had problems with them.
Yeah.
And, dude, that's like a 10 out of 10 degree of difficulty.
Yeah, so you kind of get points regardless. It's just like swimming. You know, you're doing a difficult move, you fuck it up. Well, you're going to get more points than the guy that didn't try to do a difficult move. So,
launching Phoenix out of the ring over the fucking corner. What the hell? Super fun match.
It was.
A lot of people's first time seeing Laredo Kid, who made our top three, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah, against El Hijo de Vikingo or something like that, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. You knew he was going to be taking the pin on this
one. Of course. And there's no reason not to. This is an all, like, you look at these six guys, who stands out as the weak link? Laredo Kid. He's obviously not the one that they're going to be pushing, because we've seen the guys that they're going to be pushing and how they treated those guys. So Laredo Kid is not really pushed at this point in time, just a mystery partner, because this was supposed to be Pac.
Yeah. Which we'll see now. I mean, for Laredo Kid, it's like, dude, it's great. This brings up his profile. He'll be working in way more indies now.
Well, he was working Impact, if he wasn't...
He did work Impact before.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, you might as well not, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? Right? You know what I mean?
If you go to commercials and then the show never comes back.
Do you really
I guess
work?
This week there was like, somebody pulled up Google like 2 weeks ago. During the feed, so like you're watching Impact on, and then fucking all of a sudden like a Google thing pops up.
Unreal.
Unfucking real. Although on Fighter Fest you could see, it was, we'll note it later, but during someone's entrance I saw the mouse cursor in the corner.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah. That's, I was like, fantastic. That's low rent shit. This really is Fighter Fest, dude.
And that, before we go on, I do think that we'll get into it later, I imagine, more, but there was a way to do that pre-show much better than it was.
Oh yeah.
Easily. Yeah. And I'll give my 2 cents on it later. But up next is Moxley and Janela in what I thought was a very, it's a watered down death match. After I watched the CZW Tournament of Death this year, after I watched it last week, because Casino Valentine was in it. This is much more tame than what they would do. Yeah. But it's done more in a aesthetic feel. You know what I mean? They did a good job telling stories. They didn't need to throw light tubes at each other, because they had a fleshed out story to tell. Just the cringeworthy benefits, though, of this match. Like, when he took the socks off of Janela, I immediately curled my toes. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. It was during Moxley's video that you saw the mouse in the corner.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Where did his prosthetic leg, did that come off of somebody?
I think so, because they were just walking by the crowd, and then all of a sudden, from like three rows back, somebody reaches over with a prosthetic leg, and I lost my fucking mind. Same thing, did you notice the guy in the corner with the big Polaroid camera? They used the mark out for every last thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, like, I loved that guy. Like, during the opening match, he marks out during Christopher Daniels' Angel's Wings, and I was like, if that's what he's going to mark out about, I can't wait to see his response to things later on in the show. But he just looked like a guy that, he was probably from the gaming conference. He shows up, he sees it, and is like, holy shit, I'm a wrestling fan now.
I thought that dude must have been on, like, fucking mushrooms or something. This bro's on ecstasy or something.
He could have been. But there seemed to be like a row of four people there with him that just seemed super into everything that was going on. And then also down that row, there was the guy that's at every NXT show. So,
oh really?
I seen a thing from Kayfabe News. It was like Triple H descends or rejects contract from NXT fan or whatever the fuck. He's not allowed back in. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, tons of good shit on this, man. You know, you could see, like, Moxley just like this, you sick fuck chance. You can see he was just like,
yeah,
it brought a little tear to his eye, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think he was quite happy to be back into this environment. I'm happy to see him back, not in like in this environment per se, because I don't want to see this match all the time.
No,
I agree with a lot of people with like this match should be saved for like a blood feud, but at the same instance though, you got yourself a match between two deathmatch wrestlers that, you know, it's a good story to tell. You got Janela and Moxley. Janela, who rose while Moxley was away, I believe.
Yeah.
And just the way that works out and how you can get away with this one just being where you don't have television, but later on in its course, I would rather for them to build it up and like. Maybe like just a shitty instance, Darby Allin and Cody, they go through a series of matches at the end, do like a spot fest match. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But
yeah, I mean, I get the point of like, this should be built up, but at the same point, the little video package they released this week was fucking great.
It was, it was.
And it made sense, dude. Yeah. The story that they built made sense. You know, you've been away fucking doing this pussy shit and I've been here, you know, going off buildings with Zandig and shit.
Yeah, so. Ripping my fingers off.
Yeah,
escape and death.
Yeah, I love this match. I thought it was great.
I did too.
I like some hardcore elements when it's interjected correctly. You know, when it's I don't know. It just takes a little bit for me. You know, I can't just do like the straight up death match stuff. Nothing against it. You know,
no.
We all like our own shit. But
well, like, and the way I look at it is, if I've tried to adapt your mentality, and it's working so far. It's their bodies. Let them do what they want with it.
Yes.
Like, you can interject in certain ways if they, you know, like if somebody's just like Zandig and just like, I'm gonna jump off the Tron through a table. It's like, no, you're not. But like, when it comes to using thumbtacks and barbed wire, if you're not gonna rip your bicep open like fucking Sabu, go for it. Like, we don't need barbed wire matches like where the ropes are barbed wire, because that just makes for shitty wrestling in general.
Fuck yeah.
But When it comes to barbed wire tables and barbed wire chairs, I'm fully fine with it because it's only surface wounds.
What about it's merely a flesh wound? What about fucking piranha tank matches?
Well, they're not real piranhas, right?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I did one of those on Ringside with Jim. One of the episodes we watched this fucking piranha match. You know, like throw the other guy into a fucking aquarium full of piranhas.
That's fucking retarded.
In Japan, it's fucking stupid.
That's ridiculous. But like, now mind you, if you're not bleeding, piranhas might not attack you. It's very possible they won't.
This dude bled right in there, like right out of his right out of his gigged forehead.
That's good. That goes over
pretty
well.
Fun. Check it out on the channel. If you go through Podbean, you can pick the categories of shows. Ringside with Jim. Fucking stupid. So yeah, really good shit. Post-match Omega attacks, good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. They needed to prolong the storyline somehow, and it should have been prolonged on this show.
I don't know why he had to fucking, like, play the drums and then try to hit him with sticks. That was fucking stupid.
But at least Moxley no-sold it. You know what I mean? That's one plus, because like, you take those. It's one thing if you just did it as a comedy bit. It's another thing when you do it after he's been hit with a chair with barbed wire. He's obviously not going to sell it. Neither should he. I'd rather if he didn't do that hokey bullshit, especially in this kind of environment where he's supposed to hate him. This is turning into a blood feud of sorts. There's no room for hokey jokes like that. But at the same time, like, there's a way you could do it. Like, if Kenny Omega went to do that, and then that was what caused Jon Moxley to get the upper hand. There's a story being told there that Kenny's going to try to just be the overall funny guy in front of his crowd, the gaming crowd, and it turned on him, and Moxley ended up getting the better of him. But, I mean, that's not how they did it. Hopefully they just shuff that aside.
You know, man, this may be an unpopular opinion, but, dude, Omega's lost a lot for me, dude.
They haven't really put him in positions to show it. They really haven't.
And he's just a fucking goof now, man. He's not like cool ass fucking Kenny Omega or badass. He's just like a goof. You know, he's in the backstage segments looking like a fucking goof. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things on this show, you know, because people will accuse me, dumb fucks, accuse us of being like, AEW whatever apologist.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm here to shit on a lot of stuff. Like, show.
The way I look at it is, are we just going to jump right into
all of Fyter Fest? Yeah, that's our top three. Okay. So.
So let me tell you how I would have fixed the pre-show. Okay. I would have had the tag team match be the last thing you've seen, first off. That would lead you into the show. Because if you came late, you see this, and this gets you to stay. All of that librarian bullshit, I really think that you should have released that as a Being the Elite before.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if you put that as a Being the Elite, nobody's going to bitch about it because it's Being the Elite. You put it on television, you know you're going to get somebody bitching about it. Like, I seen one guy who on Twitter akin to it was like, you shouldn't dismiss this. They're making fun of WWE. And it's like, that's not what you should do. Even if that is true, this is not what you should be doing because it's going to make you look low rent and nobody cares. Like, I'm not going to watch AEW just to be reminded that at any time they can flip the script and I'm watching WWE bullshit. Now, mind you, this is technically the first time we've seen this WWE shit on AEW, and hopefully that's not a reoccurring thing. I was listening to the Khan post interview, where he said, like, the nepotism with Jabali and all that, that's all just saved for this show, like Fyter Fest. Like, these gaming shows will have a different feel compared to the rest of the shows.
Then do it beforehand, motherfucker.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, there's something to be said. You got to remember as well, and I hate the fact that this is a thing, they're at a gaming show, so things are going to be kind of tailored somewhere different. And, like, when you got a whole year's worth of product, if you have one show that's going to be a little geared differently and a little bit less serious, I'm okay with that. But when it's your second show, ugh.
So, good things on this show, time limits. Yes. And I was even told my buddy watch. I think I impressed him a little bit. I'm like, watch, when they're announcing these time limits, there's going to be a draw tonight. And there was.
Yeah.
I think he was impressed. Anyway, the three-way to start, I thought was a fucking great match. I didn't know who Private Party was. I do now. I like them. The crowd liked them, you know.
And this is, you can't, if you're going to speak the negative, you got to speak the good. They really did a great job at making you notice Private Party and building Private Party and hiding all of their flaws. We got to see Private Party do everything that they do well, and it made you like them. And it got them a contract after the show, too.
Oh, really? I thought they had one already.
They didn't have a guaranteed, like, every 2 weeks you get a paycheck. It's like you show up, you get paid. It's like a pay-per-appearance deal, you know what I mean? They offered them a contract after the show, and they're full-time AEW wrestlers now, and it's a young team to really build on, and I thought it was fantastic. That match was the lone highlight of the pre-show.
Yeah, definitely. What else do we have in this fucking match? Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I love that bro's fucking sunglasses didn't come off forever.
Yeah.
And then when they finally did, it was like, that's a good spot.
Well, and then Kazarian wears it and he throws it. I was wondering when they're going to come off, because obviously the glasses were on for a reason. Somebody was going to grab them. They were going to put them on. It's just the way that works. At first, I was like, take those fucking glasses off, man. Because why isn't anybody... The problem I have with that, why isn't anybody punching him in the face and blinding him? Because that's what you deserve if you're going to wear your sunglasses in the ring. Yeah. But that's where my mentality differs. I don't think you should be wearing sunglasses in the ring. It makes you look stupid.
That was funny. The only sunglasses in the ring you'll allow is super callow or what?
Yeah, because they're fabric.
Yeah. that was cool. And then, you know, watching along with my fucking homie. Shout out to Randy Bett. I had to apologize for all this shit, and I felt those feelings that you feel so many times when you watch WWE and somebody walks in the room or somebody happens to be there and it's fucking embarrassing. And I had to apologize. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I felt like I had to apologize.
Yeah.
That rest of that pre-show fucking sucked, dude.
Like, I posted the same thing on Twitter when I was responding to something like that. It's like, you can tell us to wait to see where it goes, but at the same time, you're not going to win fans over when I'm afraid to show somebody this. I'm not going to show somebody that. If I was sat down and one of my roommates were watching it with me, because we did watch a little bit of Double or Nothing together, if I had them sit down and just be like talking them up and be like, this is great stuff, and turn it on and seeing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care where it goes. They're doing that whole librarian shit. And I'm just like with that dude in the crowd. It's like, because you could hear people pretty loud in there. He's like, this gimmick sucks. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah. I could live without ever seeing the librarian bullshit again.
They need to kill that shit with fire.
Yeah.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Aerosol cans and lighters.
It's terrible.
The only place where I differ on the pre-show with everybody as a whole, that hardcore match sucks. It does. 100%.
Yeah, it sucks.
Did I find Nakazawa entertaining? Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Other than that, the match is probably served better because like, it's obviously for the crowd because Jabali plays, I guess, some kind of heel at CEO. So they want to see him get his ass kicked, I guess, but
this should have been pre-show
dark match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
should have been the 100%. Fucking dark match.
Or being the Elite.
This is kind of the second time in a row they've done this shit where they have this pre-show and they put it out there free and they're like, hey, fucking order now. And then they just shit the bed completely by having these fucking terrible things.
Yeah. At least this is the last time. It was just the Battle Royal.
Yeah. To me, honestly, if I was them, I would just, like, the librarian shit, I would wrap it up on being the Elite.
Yep.
I would just do Leva Bates fucking some other way. By the way, SEO.
I'd get rid of her.
SEO Body of the Week.
I would get rid of her 100%.
Wow.
100%. It's been a long time since we've had to talk about Blue Pants on this show.
Yeah.
But if you can't remember my hatred for Blue Pants, it's back again. I hated Blue Pants. I hated everything about her. It made me start to hate the whatever the fuck you call them, the old timey fucks. Vaudevillains. It made me hate them when they were involved with her because she's a garbage wrestler. She is. She's a garbage wrestler. You see the sight of that pedigree? Have you seen a worse pedigree ever performed? No. She's garbage.
But dude, her ass, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, her ass. Okay. If we want to talk about her looks, let's talk about her nose.
Jim Fish's hottie of the week.
Because my hottie of the week is Yuka Sakazaki.
We'll talk about her. But yeah, I thought that Leva Bates Alley match. I thought it was bad.
It was WWE. It was a WWE match, and that's not what you need.
I thought that whole, other than that May opening thing on the pre-show, I thought the whole pre-show was like, I'm like, am I watching fucking Raw right now or SmackDown?
Yeah, no, 100%. What did you think of the whole Fyter Fest thing?
What do you mean?
Like with
the Fyter Fest bullshit?
Yes.
Hate it.
Okay, I thought it was funny. I did have a chuckle at it. Now myself, I do think that should have been you should have had a half hour pre-show, and a half hour being the Elite that was live on YouTube. That's what you should have done, in my opinion. And you could have had that Fyter Fest bullshit where they change out the fucking the mannequins and the bikinis and have that
it's
on
like,
the being the Elite. Because it is
like
very being the Elite.
It's joke, though. It's like, oh, we're really low rent. I don't get it. Like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, and that's where it would fit on being the Elite, because being the Elite is full of inside jokes.
Actually, as the pre-show was ending, I was like super worried. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be fucking WWE. AEW is just going to be WWE. Because like, you know, three quarters of that pre-show was the shit. And even that match too was like total WWE ending, throwing the book in. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
And it wasn't even done as well as the WWE would do it.
you know what I mean?
Like there would have been more fluidity with the throwing of the books.
Best thing about Alex Jabali match for me was Tozawa called him a cripple. I was like, oh, you can't call people cripples in 2019.
He said, oh, I'm sorry, in America, blah, blah, blah. He speaks really good English. Really good English.
Yeah, I didn't even, well, kind of, but there's another thing. It's like, you got this free show, all these people watching, And you just like, you absolutely give the Japanese guy who can barely speak. I mean, he's, dude, come on. He barely speaks English. Yeah, just give him a mic. Let him go out there and fucking call people cripples and who knows what else. I don't even know what he was talking about, dude.
He was comparing CEO to Evo and how much CEO sucks compared to Evo and how Jubilee's a cripple and how he's going to cripple him again. I could understand every word he said. I don't know how you don't think he could speak good English. I understood every last word he said. I didn't even have to think about it.
Speaks English better than AAA's English commentary.
Oh, man, for a sec, me and Travis watched Botchamania, and I'd mentioned to Travis.
Yeah, finally saw what you're talking about.
It's him. It's George Lopez's brother-in-law. I swear to God. We are having technical... I can't even do it. I can't even do it.
And he's got like a high-pitched fucking shitty voice.
It was horrible. I'll never get... I want this in record. Okay? I will never watch AAA again.
Okay? Wow. I will.
I won't.
Done. That's it. But yeah, this Alex Jubilee shit, I hate it. I don't know. He's not a wrestler. Why put this on the pre-show in front of all these people? You know what? It really reminded me of... I was waiting for like fucking Vince Russo to come out. It was a total WCW 2000 Vince Russo shit.
Yeah. No, I get you 100%. Anyway. I'm going to keep on saying, because I firmly believe it, if they were to do this once a year at the gaming conference, not hype it up as a huge show, you know what I mean? I'm okay with it 100% because you're marketing towards a crowd. But other than that,
I am a fucking gamer.
Yeah, but you're not at a gaming conference. You're not that gamer. You know what I mean? Well, you're not your whole life is gaming.
I fucking get my dick sucked on the rig. But
it's like going for Hog Wild with WCW. You would do things that you normally wouldn't do because you're around a bunch of redneck racist bikers.
Yeah,
so
right.
You would have the black guys, Booker T and Stevie Ray, go out on his heels so that they could get fucking heckled and the crowd is happy. Now, nobody gets a huge uproar anymore for that, so why would you get an uproar for them catering towards a gaming community once a year? If it's not highlighted as a super big show, I don't see a problem with it. But if that continues on with week-to-week television, fuck. Yeah. Fucking problem.
Otherwise, we're going to have like a fucking 2-hour show just on this. And I have a bunch of Mark Tank I want to fucking laugh at. Shima versus Daniels.
Oh, right.
A serviceable match.
I thought this match was okay. It was
a good
opener.
The problem with it, I just thought it was fucking boring. Didn't really.
I thought it was a good opener. It really got the juices flowing. It kind of cleansed the taste out of your mouth from the pre-show because it wasn't garbage and you got to see this.
It was solid. It was serviceable, but I was bored and the person I was watching with was also bored by it.
Fair.
It didn't kick off the show with some excitement like I would have hoped for.
They didn't really have anything to kick off the show with excitement, though, after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I think that three-way tag team match should have been the thing you've seen before the show.
Yeah. They could have put that here, too. Put Shima and Daniels on the pre-show. I don't know. Very true.
That's actually, I think that idea was probably best. But at that same point in time, if you had done that, then the pre-show gets fucking completely lambasted.
Yeah, Taichi Daniels. I don't know what's going on with that. Is that a thing he's been doing? I guess I haven't been paying attention.
Taichi Daniels? Oh, he's always had that little microphone.
I don't really remember that.
No, he's been coming out with that microphone for at least a couple years.
That shows what I fucking know.
When they were the Addiction, Daniels used to come out with that microphone in TNA.
Oh, yeah. I guess I must not have paid much attention to it.
I mean, not a lot of times is Daniels in a high-profile match. It's usually Kazarian and Storm. Or Kazarian and Kaz. Storm.
Yeah, he's just here to fucking put over Shima, because Shima's going to lose to Omega.
Yep. Which, I will say, you were talking about how we haven't seen Omega be Omega. Hopefully, we see it with Shima, and then leading into a match with Moxley, which I'm going to be there live. So I really hope it's a good match. If it's not a good match, I'm going to be very disappointed.
From there, we have the women's three-way, Rio, Nyla Rose, and Yuka Sakazaki, who from the last show became one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Also, I used to pick her all the time on Jet Set Radio. So.
What?
What's Jet Set Radio? I'm just joking. She just looks like a character from Jet Set Radio. and the other chick looks like what's that fucking fighting game where it was like all the bitches in like bikinis and
Dead or Alive.
Yeah, she looks like someone at Dead or Alive.
That's a weird name for a fucking those bikini fighting games. But remember when B-Rad Brab was telling us that this was the lady that Kenny wrestled was in the match? This is where we got confused. It's the lady he used to tag with. Not the little girl from the match. It's the lady he used to tag with, an 11-year-old. And that was Riho.
There's nothing better than, like, just a baby face, cute little Asian girl. The sad look she had gave at the end of the match was like, you just want to, like, go and give her a hug.
Yeah,
you know, you're
it
just
is.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
And then JR had said it best. That's a sad wrestling face right there.
Yeah. I'm going to see what I got here. Nyla Rose, still bad.
Now, this is what I'm going to say. The match at the beginning was very lackluster when it came to Nyla Rose. Towards the end of the match, though, I think she really picked up. And the spots that she did at the end of the match really highlighted her strengths.
Catching both girls was cool.
Yeah, exactly. And like the Swanton Bomb, at least it's a decent-looking aerial move. The knee to the back of the head while I think Yuka was draped over the ropes, I thought was really dope. I don't know. She's still not a good wrestler, but given the right circumstances, you
would think a trans woman would be a fantastic wrestler.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
This, I'm afraid to say this bullshit on air because...
No, you probably shouldn't then.
No, it's not that bad, I don't think. if I was a trans woman, a man, that you, like I used to be a man, I would be afraid to not pull a punch. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, if you want to try to be snug, you could kill this lady. So,
well,
like,
especially, like, Yuka, she's, like, 72 pounds.
Yeah, 72 pounds of fucking pixie stardust.
Yeah, I fucking love her, though. She's great.
Oh, yeah. I think she's fantastic.
All those girls, too. All those Japanese girls. Yeah, I was talking about it with my buddy Watch, and he's like, these girls, the Japanese girls have so much personality.
Yeah.
And they do. It's like, they don't say anything, but they have these, like, fully kind of developed characters anyway. And so much, like, energy and, like, they're so good.
Yeah, and they're good workers. You know what I mean? They work well. And I did like the story that they told at the end of the match where Riho pushed Yuka after the pin.
Super surprised that Riho picked up the win here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was too. But there's a... Going into it, I always assumed Riho out of the Joshi girls was going to get the push because she was the girl that Kenny knows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
Like, I'm not saying as a nepotism kind of way, but he's most familiar with her. So that's how most places work. Who you're most familiar with is who you're going to trust with something. So you start with that, and then you build trust with everybody else, and you work around it. So I just assumed Riho would be that person.
I really liked this match. I thought it was super fun. Only thing I'd have done different, I'd have had Rose get her heat back at the end. She attacks, but then gets run off.
That's fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
She could have smashed both of them, and they still could have done that spot afterward or something. Yeah. I don't know. You know, like, she lost and she didn't get her heat back. That's whatever.
Yeah, I understand that 100%. The only qualm I would have with that is you probably get a lot of people bitching as to WWE. Because that's how WWE does it. And there was that one point in time during the pre-show when I was watching it, and I was just looking at Chuck and his chubby body, and I was looking at Trent and how chiseled he was. And I was like, they've got to have plans for Trent to be a singles guy, eh? And then Travis looks at me and he's like, that's awful WWE thinking, don't you think? I was like, holy fuck, you're right. I've got to relearn wrestling.
Yeah, I'm going to break him up. They're a great tag team, but yeah, I mean, to me, I was always surprised that Trent, it seemed like they were flirting with it in Japan. I bet if he would have committed to them and signed with them,
he could have done something with
it. He'd be in a higher profile spot.
I agree. What match are we at now? Because I rudely went back to the pre-show.
We are to the four-way.
Between Adam Page. Yes.
Yeah, and MJF started off with just tremendous promos, dude.
I want to know what your buddy thought of MJF.
He loved it. Well, he knows MJF from the last AEW show.
Okay.
He did watch Double or Nothing as well, so.
MJF with that line, you who lives in your mother's basement, she swallows.
He murdered those motherfuckers, man. It was good.
He did. Good. It was fantastic. And the person that they showed after, when he said, I was a video game fan and I lost my virginity, they had found the perfect face to zoom in on. And I feel so fucking bad for that guy.
One thing I did, I forgot to mention about that three-way, and then in the four-way, rope breaks? I don't know. There was a rope break in that women's three-way. There's a rope break here in this four-way. I don't know what the fuck.
That all depends. Does your triple threat rules contain no DQ? Because that's the only reason why there's no rope breaks. If you're triple threat.
Yeah, if only there was a group of people that whose would tell job us. It was to tell me these things. But, you know.
The announcing did drop the ball in certain places. So did production. Production missed a lot of spots. They would hang on to somebody's facial and then miss somebody's cue at the other end of the ring.
But that's because, you know, instead of a fucking producer being there, you know, you got everybody's wanting to play fucking, look at me, I'm pushing buttons, you know. Every time you see Cody Rhodes, what's he doing, sitting backstage pushing buttons? Like,
yeah, I mean, you should have a group of guys doing that.
Sitting back there with a fucking, like, concussed with, like, 13 stitches or staples in his head. Producing the show. Like, dude, get out of the way and let somebody who knows what they're doing control the cameras and shit. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a thought.
I agree 100%. You pay people that for a reason. Now, like, I do understand the fact of wanting to learn, but you don't need to learn for the sake of the product.
Yeah.
You can learn along the way. You don't need to learn every last little bit. You got a billionaire's money. Pay somebody that's good at it and let them do it. I wonder
what it's like to work in certain parts of that, right? Where if you're on that, you're like, God damn it, dude. There's people who've done this shit for their, like, 30, 40 years who know what the fuck they're doing. And, like, yeah. We have to sit here and, you know, while this guy tries to play TV producer and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, but then again, Kevin Dunn's done it fucking ever, and he's awful, so.
Wouldn't it be something if that's just for the gram?
No, it was on the Double or Nothing too. He was sitting backstage. All of them were like,
what I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, would it be something if that was just for the gram? It's just like they just got incompetent guys doing that.
No, I doubt it.
I do too. But just imagine, the production. But like we said earlier in the Double or Nothing episode, the production side is going to get smoothed out in like over time. It's going to happen.
What about the commentary?
The commentary, at least they got fucking Alex Marvez off. I would much rather that Golden Boy guy than Alex Marvez. 100%. The other guy that was with him, fuck him. Fuck the English guy. Because all he did was make fun of shit. Him on the commentary did not help the fucking fledgling pre-show. Didn't. One bit.
Yeah.
If you had somebody that knew what the fuck they were doing, you could have at least tried to save it. But there wasn't really any saving it. But like the fact they got rid of him brought out JR. I mean, I thought JR was okay.
Yeah.
But like he didn't really bring anything to the big matches. It was almost as if the Moxley Janela match was too much for him. And he just
and I want it, dude. I want it for him.
I do too.
I want this story of him his comeback and all this, but man, it's not happening for me.
I'm willing to wait and see, but at this point in time, I don't think Jim Ross on your commentary full time is the way to go.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I guess if you're going to do a 3-man team, keep him there, but just keep him there for the don't go.
Yeah.
Keep him there for like the little great sound clips. You know, I mean, I think he's trying to carry too much here.
Yeah, yeah. Let Excalibur do the play-by-play and lead you to where you need to go. If you get inspired by something, let it out. But other than that, you don't really need to do anything.
I really like this match. Thought it was good. Also like how they're setting up where MJF, you know, he hasn't lost yet. Still, he hasn't lost to Paige. So he has a claim to kind of go out to get in there with Paige or in the title picture and shit.
Yeah.
That's good.
That does make sense. Now, that is saying that Paige wins the title, which I don't think he does. But it at least gets him up there, and it's a start to building MJF, because I don't think you need MJF in that title picture yet. I think you can wait until, a year, and just have MJF just be his heel, and just make everybody fucking hate him.
Yeah. Paige can lose to Jericho and then, you know, go to MJF or something.
Of course. 100%. It could be the opening match of your fucking television. Paige versus MJF. But like, that'd be stupid. Absolutely
fucking great. I think he's like one of the best characters in wrestling. He's a real heel, dude.
Yep.
This is what a real heel is.
Yep.
I don't know if we'll talk about it or not, but seem to be some people very confused about how Baron Corbin is this great heel. What's that dude's name from Busted Open?
Salt and Pepper guy.
Salt and Pepper, Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper's here. Salt and Pepper's here.
I don't know what his name is, but
I don't either.
He was like screaming, first off. Dude, I don't know what's with this. I think that shit's just like, you know, because there's a lot of people in this community. And, you know, you do your hustle however you want to do your hustle. But they legit go on like every Monday. They go up and then they fucking scream about the show and shit. And, like, I guess people like that sort of thing, but
yeah,
I don't.
People like emotion. In my opinion, if you got to scream to get your point across, your point's probably wrong.
Yeah, or you need to smoke some weed. But yeah, he's just like, Corbin is a great heel. And like, dude, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is a good heel. You know? Like, you want to see MJF. And dude, MJF could lose every fucking match for the next year. And it wouldn't even matter.
It
wouldn't matter at all.
Because he can talk himself out of it.
And, little thing, he does the feet on the ropes. Where the fuck is that in WWE, by the way? When's the last time you saw a heel in WWE try to fucking...
They
put his feet on the ropes or something.
Don't. That was one thing that really blew my mind watching so much modern wrestling. And then when we went back to do the Battle of the Woos for the Federation, the 90s WCW, and seeing all the footwork on the ropes and just being like, man, I wish there was so much more of this.
Well, dude, just like heels cheating to fucking win, where like the ref goes around. Now, obviously, we don't do abdominal stretches anymore. But.
No.
You know, the ref goes around one side, he starts pulling the fucking tights and shit, the ref comes back. Like, dude, little things, they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, a lot of people have lost
you put
the solitude of heel.
In a sharpshooter or something, fucking grab the rope, dude, when the ref is down in his face trying to ask him.
Yeah.
I don't know. God damn it. Anyway, MJF is fucking awesome.
God damn right. What did you think of Jungle Boy? I thought he shone a lot in this match.
Dude, even that, I don't know what the fuck that spot at the outside was.
Man, that was insane. And the fact that he still clipped his feet and got fully rotated.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He was going fast.
I mean, girls like him, you know, he's tiny though, but he's good. He's high flyer.
Also super young, right?
Yeah.
If you have him with Luchasaurus, because as soon as I seen Luchasaurus in the ring, I knew there was going to be a spot where Luchasaurus caught him. Also, did you see the picture of a Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy training together 10 years ago?
I had no idea that they were like friends that long.
I didn't either, but it adds a lot to the story. It really does.
Jungle Boy's like, what, 12 training for wrestling?
Something like that, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Kind of makes it weird that they're friends, actually, because it's like, so when you were training... You were friends with a 12-year-old kid?
Well, like, they might not be friends, like, the whole time, but, like, they come back together and it's like, oh, shit, you're that kid from that class, blah, blah, blah.
I think that whole thing was like, okay, Luchasaurus, like, it was cool when he was in on Lucha as whatever the fuck he was called, I don't know.
He was,
as a big lizard, he's part of the lizard tribe, it makes sense. But, like, dude, now this is what you're going to go with this guy? It seems like a... It seems like an oversight. You know, it seems like you take a mask off this guy. He's kind of big. He's, you know, I don't know. I just, Luchasaurus has a ceiling to it. You know?
It does, but not everybody needs a big ceiling, though. You know,
I know,
what I mean?
But you're not going to be like AEW champion Luchasaurus, you know.
I think he's mainly a tag team to be with Jungle Boy, because Jungle Boy's in the jungle, and dinosaurs live in jungled areas, or lived in jungled areas.
That's a stretch. But yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed the match.
I did too. Jimmy Havoc was a afterthought. I didn't think of him at all in this match. But they built Jungle Boy up like they built Private Party, and you want to see more of them. And like they did Darby Allin in the next match.
Jimmy Havoc without barbed wire and tables and ladders and shit
is
like
nothing.
What is he doesn't know what to do, you know?
Yeah. I really think Jimmy Havoc is there for the times they want to do those big violent matches with like Joey Janela and John Moxley and shit like that. I really think that's his whole claim to fame, because they're not having a cruiserweight division. So, like, he's literally a willow tree in the wind.
Yeah. And I actually don't mind him. I thought that was interesting. My homie was a fan of him. He's like, I like Jimmy Havoc. You know, he's brand new to this shit.
Well,
but he thinks he looks cool and shit.
Exactly. You know? He comes out, looks cool. As soon as he takes off the getup, it's like, oh.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, Cody, Darby Allin.
I
thought this was fun.
I will say that the beginning of the match was a little bit lackluster. I thought, anyways. I thought it took a long time to get to the point of the match. But once I clued into the draw and, like, how they were building that and they started... Because it's the first time I really noticed the time. Because I believe this was the first match that went long enough where you really noticed it happening all the time.
Yeah.
I was just like, they're going to a draw. They are definitely going to a draw.
Okay, dude. We start a pool on how long fucking Darby Allin wrestles. Holy
shit. Oh, I give 5 years.
This fucking kid. But, you know, not only that trust fall, everybody's like, holy fuck, and that, but also the one where he gets shit canned out the side.
Through the post. Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Hey, yeah. If that's what you want. Like, that trust fall, it's not the first time. I've seen him do that trust fall onto the apron before. He's done it at numerous indie shows. I was kind of desensitized when I seen it. Still, it sucks. But hey, this is the way I look at it. It's fake wrestling, right? A lot of people had problems with him finishing the match after being beaten completely. He stood up from that trust fall, right?
Yeah,
so
well, eventually.
He's not that hurt. You know what I mean? So, like... the way I look at it is I can believe if he can stand up and get back into the ring, then okay, well, he's not that hurt. You know,
how do you do that? How do you even do that move? I don't even understand how you fucking bring yourself to do that. And like, how do you plan for that? How are you like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I didn't even know, dude.
I don't know either. I've seen a lot of people talk about how seeing Darby Allin outside of wrestling, and how, like, they claim, like, he's the real deal. Like, one person says, like, they were walking down the street one day and they seen Darby Allin just setting up ramps in the street and eating shit on his skateboard. The guy,
like,
I think, just likes pain.
Pro skater to an extent, or what?
I think so. He did some stuff with Tony Hawk and shit. I don't know what that entails, but I've gotten way out of the skating scene. Like, we were talking about, I believe, on Twitter or Facebook, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 was, like, the pinnacle.
All the skaters we were talking about are, like, fucking old men and
Bucky
retired.
Bucky Lassick, Bob Burnquist, fucking Rodney Mullen.
Mullen's my fucking boy.
Rodney Mullen didn't have much in the way of vert or, like, pizzazz, but man, manuals and groundwork, fuck.
And Rodney Mullen didn't compete.
No.
You know, he never did, like, competitions and shit.
He competed in competitions back in the day when they had, like, the flat street vert stuff, you know what I mean? Like, Lords of Dogtown and shit like that.
Yeah. I just fucking love that guy's work. Anyway, but yeah, this kid, I don't know, man. You know, I don't hate him. I guess we'll see. You know, he is kind of a darker character, a Raven-esque sort of character.
Yeah, yeah. I'm willing to see more. I thought they built him up really well.
He's really small.
He is really small, but that's why they gave him the tough character. You know what I mean? He can take a lot of punishment, and he will take a lot of punishment in hopes to get the advantage in a mistake. And I think it's a good story going against Cody. You had Cody who took him lightly. It leads to another match where it's like, okay, well, Cody's not going to take him lightly this time. There could be no time limit and just Cody beats the shit out of him. You know what I mean? But
yeah, we'll see where they're going. I kind of thought you could have done Cody just gets him at the end.
Almost did get him too. You know what I mean? He was in the two count, I think, when the bell rang.
Yeah. But after the match, Sean Spears comes out, hits Cody with a chair. This is like, dude, fucking wrestling fan. This is what I'm saying. I said it before this, but it bears repeating again. One of these weeks, you're just going to come here, and it's just going to be like a different show. When we talk about UFOs or something. Fucking wrestling fans, man. I can't stand it, most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, who gives a fuck what they were trying to do? Like, okay, this chair was gimmicked. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. The back hit him in the back of the head. And, like, do you see some of these people have been railing on this for days now?
I mentioned it when I first seen it. I said, boo that chair shot. That's all I said about it. Once I found out it was gimmick, it was like, okay, you know what? Whatever. Because I do think you should be able to do what you want with your body, but there should be a line drawn where we don't need people getting dementia early on, right? You know what I mean?
Like, it's not like they were trying to go out. Like, there's some guy, I don't know what, some podcast, I don't know. Anyway, I have no idea which offhand. But he's like, whoa. And I'm like, dude, the chair was pre-dented. It was gimmicked. It was an accident.
Yeah.
He's like, not on my TV. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Not on your TV.
Not my president bullshit. That's what that is.
The chair was gimmicked everywhere, including your TV, motherfucker.
They didn't have the top of the chair gimmicked, and that's what cut them. With concussions, you always have to worry a week later, right? But a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people know how concussions work, like how you get a concussion. Your concussion is from your brain rattling inside your head. And so, like, you get really bad concussions when you're hitting the back of the head because the front of your face is behind your skull. It's really jagged. And that's why you can get a lot of traumatic brain injury when you get hit in the head, because your brain shifts into gray matter, stabs into that stabby, stabby skull, bounces back, boom, brain damage. But when you take that chair shot, the only part that really ricocheted his head was the top of the chair that split him open. Now, if you could see, he wouldn't have had staples if it just smacked him. It hit him and slid, and it pulled the skin down.
Yeah.
And that's not... I don't think he's getting a concussion from that. Sure, you got a fucking hard head, and it hurts, and you got blood all over your suit. But that's almost least of your worries. That's the most of your worries. It was very safe, and like Tony Khan said in his interview, even if a plane goes down, you can have the greatest pilot in the world and all the safety features in the world. A pilot errs, pilot error. All the safety precautions could never change it. The same thing with this. He got him hit in the head. Unfortunately, it didn't go off exactly as planned. But guess what? I don't think he's got a concussion. I don't think there's any reason to worry about the concussion. The chair was gimmicked. Guess what? They used the gimmick chairs in ECW, too.
Dude, it's not like people are treating it like, oh, this company is going to be smashing people in the head every fucking day with chairs, which they're not.
Do you know what this is all about? On a Nightmare Family video, he was asked about Sean Spears, and Cody said he'd be a good training hand. That's what this is about. This is Sean Spears coming back, being like, I used to be your tag team partner. I was your mentor in OVW. Fuck you. Here's this chair shot for everything you said about me. That's what that is. And I fucking think that's fantastic. Great story.
Yeah, but you know what would have been nice there? Somebody saying if only. Yeah, if only someone had the job of fucking telling me this.
Yeah. Jim, we should be announcers.
I don't know how that would go.
I take one of those sweet CEO gaming chairs, though. They look pretty comfortable.
Yeah, dude.
Me and Travis had a running bet that if JR mentioned how uncomfortable the gaming chair was, I had to chug a beer.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
He knows. But yeah, I mean, so I guess in conclusion, like, shut the fuck up about the chair thing already. That's what we're talking about. It seemed like a lot of WWE defenders, people who already wanted to have
a reason to
an issue with AEW, you know.
Yeah.
It's like two. So that's one thing. And then the commentary sucked on that part of it too.
But now back to
why bring up CTE and all that? Like, that's fucking stupid. That didn't help it.
It didn't. You know? It didn't. But at the same time, though, it kind of helped where, like, they knew that it was gimmicked, right? They bring up the CTE because they're just trying to get over that Sean Spears is not the perfect 10 guy. He is a mean man now. He is not that same character. I think they've blown that character out of water. You don't need to even mention the perfect 10. You don't need to even think about it because now he's a heel, and he at least did it really heelish. And just to back a little bit, did you know that they used to cut the screws on Masato Tanaka's chairs because his neck got bad? And they cut the screws so that when he hit it, it would just pop off.
Mm.
So, like, all those times that you see Masato Tanaka get hit, rifled over the head with a chair, and the seat fell off, it's because the screws are cut.
Huh. I have no problem with that. But for me, commentary right there is like, you know, what would drive him to do this? They're friends. They were, you know, he was his mentor. They didn't do any of that shit.
100%. I agree. 100%. You could have told that story so much better on commentary. Especially, it's one thing if this happened on a Wednesday on TV and we followed up the next week.
Yeah.
That's completely different because that's a week long to fester on it, to think about it, to book your own scenario and hope, you know what I mean? It gives you all this kind of time to fester on it. Whereas now, sure, it's only 2 weeks till Fight for the Fallen. We'll probably get some kind of footage on it then, maybe on Being the Elite or probably a road to Fight for the Fallen. But it's uncertainty. That's the thing. We don't know if we're going to get it. So when you don't know if you're going to get the resolution, you kind of should just give a little bit. All you need to do was say, these guys teamed in OVW. Why is he attacking him like this?
Boom. Yeah.
You didn't even need to bring up the fact. You didn't need to hammer it into people's heads that Cody said what he said on a Nightmare Family video, because this is just not how stories work. You don't want to hold your hand through the story. You want to let other people come up with their own kind of connotations. But at this point in time, it's too much goodwill. The fans have too much goodwill towards this product that I think it could make the people making the product really standoffish on pulling the trigger because they know people are going to be okay with it anyways because their hardcore fan base will cheer anything.
Mm.
I don't know.
For sure, man. But yeah, we talked about everything else on the show. So overall, that was a good show. Some good matches in there. I liked it. I thought it was fun.
What did you think of the throwback to the Florida Championship Wrestling days with the Lights Out match? That got lost on a lot of people.
What's that?
That got lost on a lot of people where everybody was all confused. Why did the lights go out? It's like,
yeah.
Wrestling history, bro.
You know what else got lost on a lot of people? A fucking draw. All these modern WWE fans. These like little kids there, and they're like, I don't know, fucking 16 or however old they are. And they're like, no understanding whatsoever of the Broadway. They've probably never even seen a fucking time limit draw before because all they watch is awful WWE.
Well,
who
I had
themselves
one
by getting rid of time limits. Idiots.
I had one guy who commented on something because I had mentioned that at least the draw was only 20 minutes. So like at the end, you don't feel like you got your time wasted. You know what I mean? And one guy just responds at GHWWFan20 or 23. So obviously it's obviously a WWE fan through and through. And his response was, yes, you do. Feel like you wasted your time and got rip off. And it's like, my response to him was, I mean, I'm not surprised you can't take the time to actually spell the word you, so I'm not shocked that you feel like you wasted your time with a draw. But I mean, but like, fuck, 20 minutes. It's your time of your day. So goddamn important that if you spent 20 minutes watching a perfectly fine wrestling match and it went into a draw, that you're pissed off. You need to stop watching wrestling or just watch WWE and never, ever venture out of it.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of dumb shit this week, but overall, good shit. Let's move on from there. That was really long. We gotta kick some ass. So this show's not.
How long has the show gone on?
A long time.
Oh, wow. We talked about Fyter Fest for over 3/4 of our usual budget. Cool.
Dude, we're the over budget podcast, man. I got a hard out today.
Hey, man.
A little ways down, but we're good. Let's move on with this week's news.
This week in the news, it's the 90s all over again. Lion King, Men in Black, and Bischoff and Heyman and Vince are involved in a wrestling war. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to us. We might as well talk about that right away, the Heyman and Bischoff thing.
That's the biggest story outside of it, outside of Fyter Fest, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Heyman, okay, that makes sense. I had no real problem with that. Bischoff, though, dude, it just screams desperation. It screams, like, he doesn't know anything about what's happening. Holy shit, this guy doesn't follow the product. He doesn't know what's going on.
No.
It's not like it's going to matter, though. All right,
because it doesn't matter. Exactly. No, you're 100% right. It doesn't matter who has this job at all.
No, because it was like whole week people are like, oh, it's going to be fucking awesome now. Like, it's not. It's going to be the same fucking shit. How many times have we seen Paul Heyman have control of a show? Yeah. And he doesn't have control of shit. No one has control of shit.
We've seen it twice before, and it lasted for like 3-4 months at tops. He ran SmackDown during 2003. I don't want anybody to fucking argue this on me either. I did the whole goddamn arc on the show. I know what happened. Paul Heyman was booking for like 6 months maybe, and he got fed up with not being able to do what he wanted to do, and he quit. That's how it worked. Then he went to ECW, and the exact same thing happened. So,
that's what I'm saying. We've done this before.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen? Paul Heyman's going to go over. He's going to try to book Raw. He's going to get stopped by Vince every second of the way. And guess what? He's going to fucking quit. That's what's going to happen. I don't know why anybody thinks he's going to change anything. He's just Paul Heyman. That's it. He had great ideas in the 90s. Guess what, guys? That was 20 fucking years ago.
I still think he could have. I think Heyman's smart enough. He's there every week. He follows it. He knows what's going on.
He might know what's going on, sure. But
if you let him go, I think he would be fucking. I think he would create a great show.
We've seen what he done with Ronda Rousey. We've seen what he done with Brock Lesnar. There's nothing monumentally drastic about that. There's nothing good about it. There's nothing outstanding about it. That's my thoughts.
You know what? His main priority with both Lesnar and Rousey was not to entertain you. It wasn't to create entertaining segments. It was to protect those two people as their real life fucking advocates. You know,
I get you. I 100% understand where you come from. I do. The way I look at it, though, is in what other business other than the wrestling business do we give everybody clout for what they did 20 years ago?
I know, right?
You know what I mean? You've got so many people that you could hire that are so in touch with today's wrestling that. That could give you some of the greatest shows, but we
can
get Heyman and Bischoff.
Can we run down awesome like things or great ideas that Eric Bischoff has had?
None. He hasn't had one because guess what? The NWO was Hall and Nash. It wasn't Eric Bischoff. It was Hall and Nash.
I mean, he was a part of it. I'll give him that.
Well, he allowed it. But if you watch any shoot interview, it was all Hall and Nash. It was their idea, and Eric Bischoff helped them. That was it. Eric Bischoff allowed Hulk Hogan to be the one to be. He facilitated Hulk Hogan to make it bigger in life. But like I know, I was watching like a Kevin Sullivan documentary, and he vows through and through that it was all Hall and Nash. It's not a bit of it. Eric Bischoff knew that it was going on in Japan, and he wanted to recreate that. But Hall and Nash came up with all the ideas of the NWO, and then Eric Bischoff killed it within 4 months. Really, I'm at Halloween Havoc. We're in October when the NWO formed in June, and it's fucking garbage. Absolutely fucking garbage. We've got 12 members of the NWO 4 months in. It's convoluted as fuck. Hogan's just, it's all just cheap tactics. That's all Bischoff knows. And then Bischoff went to TNA, and what did he do? He hired Hogan.
Exactly. Well, dude, that's the thing, like, Vince must not know. I mean, everyone says, like, he doesn't watch anything. He doesn't know what's happening. He must not.
No. He has no idea. Yeah. Eric Bischoff ran TNA for a bit into the fucking ground.
But, yeah, Bischoff, I mean, Nitro had some innovative things as far as the look of the show.
Yes.
You know, they had the Nitro girls, which, you know, say what you will.
You can't
it was
it now,
an
but...
idea he had. They brought in the Cruiserweights. Well, stole the Cruiserweights from ECW. I mean, the dude didn't do a lot of shit. You go back to that WCW stuff, it's not like, oh, wow, there's a lot of great shit happening here that he had something to do with, you know?
Like, if somebody came to me and said, Eric Bischoff is now in control of just... trying to figure out a new way to present the show, I'd be down, because that's one thing Eric Bischoff is good at, trying to find a new way to present the show. That's what he did with Nitro, and he made Nitro a lot different than what it was and made it more exciting. He gave it more of a party feel. It's something that the WWE is vastly missing right now, but I don't have any high hopes for anything, because Vince is not going to let control go. That's, we all know that.
Yeah. So it doesn't fucking matter. It's just like a... But then I guess an email went out. Originally it was like, oh, this is going to be backstage only. And then an email comes out, tune in this week to see what they're going to do. And I heard that this email was like an accident. Is that a fucking thing?
Do you want me to tell you the story? Because I know
the whole
story.
I only heard a little bit about it.
So they had a meeting till 4 in the morning for Raw. They didn't even talk about SmackDown. At all last week. They just had a creative meeting for Raw. After that, after they got out of that meeting, this email came out And everybody was just like, what the fuck? Like, how did an email go out for something we didn't even discuss? They didn't even discuss SmackDown. So, like, the first email that came out was of Eric Bischoff being on SmackDown. So then when people started looking into it, it turns out that Vince has been told by many people that he needed to stop micromanaging. And yeah. So the moment he stops micromanaging, this email gets sent out. Because this was one of the departments that he was not taking care of anymore. And, yeah, somebody's getting fired for sure.
I heard, and I don't know, I'm not sure if people were joking about it when they say it, but I heard that, like, catering goes by him. Now, either they're joking or he legit is, like, making catering decisions on what's back there and shit. I mean, wouldn't even fucking doubt it, right?
Now, okay, this is, if I were a billionaire and I ran my own company, I wouldn't necessarily decide everything in catering, but I would have a key items that I made sure were there. It's like, I want my steaks there, okay? Make sure there's fucking steaks. That's what I would do. But I mean, I'd be the worst rich billionaire, though. I would be that asshole if I was a rich billionaire.
I just don't know. So, like, everybody, you know, everybody who's like, oh my god, it's gonna be awesome fucking from go.
No.
Calm this fucking stuff down.
Yeah, yeah. Calm your titties.
Dude, and dude, Fox, like, great. So instead of getting a guy who's actually cool, like, good and creative and stuff, we get a dude who's good at talking to corporate people, which, you know, which means, example, talking, just fucking bullshitting people, carnying motherfuckers. Yeah. That's what Eric Bischoff is good at. That's how he got that job to start with, was bullshitting. Yeah.
Well,
Turner, bullshitting
all he was
a fucking
thing. Microphone at AWA. Couldn't even get a job at WWE, and then
he lied about shit too. When he lied about what he did there.
Yeah,
when he got there, because you go back and ask Greg Gagne, and he's like, he didn't do fucking any of that shit. Like, he barely did anything there.
That's fantastic.
God damn it! One of the greatest con men. Like, back again. To me, it just shows desperation. That's a lot of desperation and a lack of just being with the times. So
100%.
Tune in Monday to see this earth chattering shit when you know what, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley have a falls count anywhere match
or a fucking arm fucking arm wrestling contest.
An arm wrestling contest, and then they had a tug of war, I guess, last week. I saw a clip of that, and I was like, fuck me, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it could always be worse.
Yeah, it could be Raw. All right, they have some new signings. Speaking of WWE, let's just get it all out. Jinder Mahal signs a new multi-year deal, i.e. 5 years, I'm sure, and then immediately has surgery. The ink isn't even dry yet. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I need surgery.
I didn't put two and two together. I heard that he needed to go in for surgery, and I also heard that he had re-signed, and I did not put two and two together. That's fucking hilarious.
He also signed Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he's going to do absolutely fuck all.
Not that one. Two guys, you know, maybe Raleigh, you know, Raleigh, I don't fucking care.
Raleigh, Poli, Oli.
I would know how to say it if I ever saw him on TV. he's, you know, maybe he'll go something, he's young or whatever, but like Mahal, nobody was going to sign Mahal. You signed him to keep him away from the boogeyman, motherfucker, because nobody was signing that guy.
No. No, nobody.
Impact, maybe. No, not even Impact. Impact doesn't do that dumb shit anymore.
No, because they can't afford it.
Well, that's fair. I don't think they would do it anyway.
I mean, who knows?
So yeah,
I don't put nothing past Impact.
Bunch of Raleigh came out on, like, I think this last Raw, and I don't know what he was doing. Some dumbass shit, you know, fresh off his 5-year contract signing. For him, I just think it's like a thing to be like, what do you do? You know, like, oh, I'm a WWE wrestler. I think he just likes being a wrestler in the WWE. He doesn't really care. You know, like the chicks you fuck, they don't care if you're on TV or not, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Where else is Mojo Rawley going to go? What else is he going to do? He's a guy that he can be in the WWE for the rest of his life, or he can go get a different job. So
I mean, Mojo, you never know. You don't think anyone would sign Mojo?
I don't see the upside to it. Not yet, anyways. There's so many other untapped talents out there that you know can do a better job than Mojo. Why hire Mojo for the inflated price for nothing?
That's true. I mean, I don't know who would have signed him.
Well, that's my thoughts exactly. Who would sign him? Who would want to spend the money to take Mojo away from the WWE? Nobody. So WWE is going to keep him until they fire him.
So I get, like, okay, re-sign guys who might go somewhere else and make an impact. But, dude, no, like I said, no one's signing Jinder Mahal. Get the fuck out of here.
No. No. God damn, though. I mean.
No, dude, the fucking Golden Corral wouldn't fucking hire Jinder Mahal.
I will say, I went to an indie show here in Alberta once, and it was after Jim Mahal got fired from the three-man band, like when he got fired from WWE the first time. He was the surprise entrance in a ladder match. I was like, oh boy, this is something else. Jinder fucking Mahal.
Yeah, how much did you pay this guy to come all the way up here? Holy shit.
Well, actually, he used to, that's where he was from. Like he started working at the PWA thing. That was his home base.
I got you.
But like, still, it's stupid. Like, that's who would take him back.
CM Punk and Colt Cabana are continuing to sue each other. CM Punk adding a countersuit again in here. What the fuck, dude? These guys used to be homies, man.
Yeah. They're homies, they are not anymore. Yeah. Homies don't sue each other.
I don't really. I mean, this is like a headline. I don't
Years
care
ago.
To talk.
This is like a year ago.
I'm saying I don't care to talk about, you know, to break it down. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Some wrestling shows get lost and shit like that. Or to me, you know, they'll talk about that or the like XFL stuff. Like, we're not fucking. Why don't we talk about XFL shit? This is a wrestling show.
I got no interest in the XFL whatsoever. Yeah. Like, just in layman's terms, Punk told Cabana he was going to cover his lawyer fees. In the end, he didn't. Cabana sued Punk. Now Punk sued Cabana. That's it right there.
Well, maybe Cabana, you know, Punk will lose and he'll need some money and he can come fucking AEW. He should be in AEW. I don't give a shit.
If there was a way, CM Punk would be the perfect fit for AEW. He would be.
Dude, you guys got to do something. You don't have to be there forever.
No.
Do a fucking run. Come in, do some run. That's just something, you know, like, God damn it, I get being pissed at WWE. If you really hate them as much as you do, even if you don't like wrestling anymore, you should do it just to fuck with them.
Well, you think that's the biggest FU that he could do. You know what I mean? Not putting on a mask and doing a GTS in the middle of Silas Young's fucking stupid show. You do it where it matters.
If AEW, you know, once running their TV show, if they can sell, what do they sell for fucking, I can't keep their show name straight, dude.
All Out?
Yeah. How many tickets was that?
I'm assuming like 11,000.
That's not more than that. Is it the same building as last
time?
Same
building as Sears. Yeah, Sears Center. Same building. So it was probably 11,300, something like
that. How many people were in queue for that?
108,000.
So you think if they, once their TVs go in and shit, they do a CM Punk return, CM Punk's first match backed in wrestling is an AEW stadium show. You think you could do 60,000 people?
I don't know about 60, but I think you can easily do 30 or 40. 100%. Easily. Because, like, I don't want, I myself wouldn't, I would rather, if I ran a company, I would rather turn people away than have empty seats.
Oh, dude. We're talking about empty seats.
I mean, and Fighter Fest had its own fair share of empty seats. It did.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people trying to use that too, like against it, you know. Yeah. And it's like, dude,
I mean,
it's kind of
got no TV. It's fly in. You can't fly everywhere.
And it's not a big show, no. You know. I mean, and it's at a con. Like everything's happening in that building, right?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's kind of for those people. I don't know. You're not gonna fucking fly out there. You're like, oh, we're gonna Fighter Fest, unless that's your thing. So. I don't know. When one of their big shows fails to sell out, then, you know, we'll talk
that's
about it. But
talk,
to me, this is a different deal.
Yeah, same thing with Fight for the Fallen as well. That's a small show. It's a charity show. It's not going to be the biggest show in the world. It's not a big venue at all, I don't think. I don't believe. So.
Speaking of empty seats, though, man, Ring of Honor had their Best in the World show.
What a garbage show, man.
On Friday. I didn't watch it because I just hated the card. Dude, so many empty seats in that place. And they weren't even smart enough to fucking WWE it and move them all to the hard cam.
No.
There's more people on the opposite side than the hard cam.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. There was empty seats everywhere. Everywhere you looked, there were empty seats. So, I mean, it's got something to say with the state of Ring of Honor today. Yeah.
You could sum it up. Someone's like, tell me about what Ring of Honor, where they're at right now, what they're doing. And all I would need to do is show you a picture of Matt Taven celebrating winning with like two streamers in the air and like fucking the whole side empty.
Yeah, you had the great chance to put it on Jeff Cobb and hopefully build some more goodwill towards your fans, but
I heard he's only on a 1-year deal.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Jeff Cobb's on a 1-year deal. Whatever, man. Put the title on him. If he leaves, he leaves. If he doesn't, oh well. You can get the title off of him.
He's gonna leave. He's definitely gonna leave.
He's gonna leave. Everybody in their right mind should leave ROH right now if he got another place to go.
But, I can't believe they got him to start with, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Probably it was. I bet you Sinclair told him that he can get him out of his contract.
Mm.
That's probably how that worked.
I don't know, man. Like, he had a WWE tryout and I can't believe they didn't take him. To me, yeah. Like, he's no brainer. But this is fun. Ring of Honor will also be moving this December's final battle pay-per-view out of New York City. This show has been fucking taking place every year in Manhattan since 2006, except for 2015. You know where they're moving the show?
No, Florida?
Baltimore.
What?
And you know where Best in the World was at?
Baltimore.
They're moving the show to the same city that they just sold like a fucking handful of tickets to.
Wow. I mean,
you know, do you have our music, man? I think from here out, the music we used to use for Impact, I think now has to be Ring of Honor.
Should we continue talking about Ring of Honor with this in the background?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have anything going on to talk anything else about it.
No, I don't think they do either. It's fucking Ring of Honor. There's not too many times or instances where I will say I'd rather just a company go away. But, I mean, they've proven to be a company I'm not going to watch anytime for the foreseeable future. They need to get rid of Bully Ray. They need to get rid of the whole booking committee and start over new. Completely new.
Eli Drake signs with NWA, appeared at Best in the World.
Eli Drake signs with a fake company that has no shows. Cool. Deal.
Sweet. I actually like that dude. I think he's good.
I do too. He's a good talker. Inside the ring, he's not that good, but he's a good talker. He can talk his way into a match. He can talk his way into a building, get the crowd in. But, I mean, there's something to be said, but wasting your talent in fucking NWA. But that also, in my opinion, says that nobody else really wanted him. So
he reminds me of a Bobby Roode, right? He's just very average in the ring and shit, but you know, good enough character and shit. Well, at one point for Bobby Roode, you know, to do something, I think you bring him in and you could do something with him, but whatever.
If you, with his kind of style, if you've got a good story, you can get a good showing out of it. Today's day in wrestling, it doesn't have to all be about a like perfect, spots and perfect wrestling. If you got a great story and okay wrestlers, you got yourself a good match. Like look at Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. Neither are high caliber wrestlers, but you get a great story behind it, and that match becomes the show stealer. You don't need to know how to do all the moves. If you can get the more than the basics, and then have a great story, boom, you got yourself money. It's just a shame that everybody thinks that it's work rate now. You don't need to have 100% work rate. You don't.
Yeah. No, you're fucking absolutely right, sir. Preaching to the choir. Colt Cabana was originally supposed to be Aldis's partner, but he's hurt. So you got this. I think, to me, I'd take it off Aldis. I'd put it on Drake. Drake turns on him after their tag match or something. You know, I guess he didn't. But he needs to turn on him, and I would put on Drake over Aldis any day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I believe also during ROH taping, somebody else became the national champion.
Was it James Storm? I heard something about it. I saw a Storm. Oh, God. I saw something about it, like, oh, a new champion for this, and I didn't even bother to click it. I'm like, fuck.
Just think about this now, Jim. This is your NWA roster, okay? Nick Aldis, Eli Drake, Colt Cabana, Willie Mack, and Sienna, Allison Kay. That is your roster.
Well, the Willie Mack shit's not. He's an Impact man.
Okay, well, he was the NWA National Champion for a while, but you almost hit the nail on the head. What do all these names, aside from Cabana, have in common? Actually, Cabana was an Impact once as well. So,
yeah,
they were all Impact. Like, at one point in time, all, like, Sienna, Nick Aldis, Eli Drake were all in Impact together.
Yeah.
So, like, NWA to me just looks like Impact.
I'm not sure what the fuck Ring of Honor benefits by doing this shit.
They don't.
By putting
this
shit on their show. Well, I don't even know what they're doing with that.
Probably pays them money to let him on the show.
No.
And don't get me started on the fact that, like, if anybody thinks Billy Corgan's going to come up with some fucking exciting idea, he is the blandest rock star in the fucking world. What creative storyline is he going to have other than playing slow fucking music that you stare at your shoes at? That's it.
Hey, Billy Corgan, did you ever, like, have sex with a lot of groupies or something?
No.
No? Did you ever, like, do a bunch of fucking drugs and shit? Like,
no.
He didn't do anything.
No, he just shaved his head and sang sad songs. That's it.
I like a little bit of Smashing Pumpkins.
I like two songs.
Yeah. Well, you know. But, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on over there. I mean, what else do we want to talk about? Seth Rollins is a cunt? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins needs somebody to handle social media. I don't think Seth Rollins should be handling his own social media anymore.
He took so many Twitter L's this week, man. Fucking just, dude, crushed yourself. Like, I love it. Like, too, your top face of your company is on Twitter. Just burying himself, man. He lost so many people.
Yeah.
Through that, I don't give a fuck about that guy anymore. Like, nope. I wasn't a big fan of him anyway. I was always like, whatever. You know, but now, fuck him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Travis showed me a tweet because we were having a few drinks before Fighter Fest. I ended up getting sloshed. I was so glad we didn't record Sunday morning because I was way too hungover. That's why I was so excited.
I couldn't get out of bed. I have to talk about my back thing. Everybody's like, what happened? And they drink guesses, and I'm like, no, it's even stupider than that. So I have to tell them all. Anyway, go ahead.
He showed me a tweet, and this was after all that went down, and it was a picture of a can't, not allowed enter, no entry, can't do rules for a music festival. And at the bottom it said Seth Rollins is not allowed.
Oh yeah, I see that.
And somebody commented on it, and the guy replied, it's not the first festival that Seth Rollins has been banned from. It's like, oh, this guy is a fucking piece of shit.
Why is he banned from festivals anyway?
He's probably just a belligerent drunk when he gets out there. He's just a dickhead, because he seems like a fucking dickhead here.
I thought it was a joke or something when I saw one, like, this is a while back where I saw that. Well, I had no idea.
It's one of those things where the way he conducts himself, like, especially when you look at it, his friend Dean Ambrose left. He didn't quit. His contract was up and he decided not to resign.
Yeah, yeah.
And just him opening up about his thoughts on John Moxley. It's just, this guy does not have your back. A, he's not actually your friend. He's just a fair weather friend. When you're around, he's okay. When you're not, you're dead to him. And the guy's the fucking Nazi sympathizer, guys. He is a piece of shit.
Come on.
To be fair,
I would fuck a Nazi bitch. I don't care if she's hot. I'd be like, wow, I really don't agree with her outlook at all, but I'd fuck her.
I wouldn't date her, though.
He's kind of dating her.
Well, see, exactly. How do you date somebody that's a Nazi sympathizer? You can't.
No.
Unless you're a piece
of
shit yourself.
You can one time fuck one, though. I'll give that a pass, because I would do that. I would do that.
If she was hot enough and I didn't know, sure. But, like, if she was hot and I heard her say, down with the Jews, I'd be like, I'm not going to fuck you, dude.
I'd be like, well, like, I kind of wish she would take the armband off, but, like, yes.
I wish there wasn't a swastika just tattooed right between her tits, but fuck.
I guess we're
going to
do
it. I'll come on it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Just bust a nut on it, dude. So, yeah, that's exactly it. And it's not even like, you know, when somebody you work with gets a new job, you're like, fuck yeah, dude, you know, congrats, man. I hope,
you're
know,
bettering yourself.
This, it's better for you or whatever, especially when it's your friend. Fuck this guy, dude. He's just trying to be
company guy.
What they think being the man is, you know, like just being out there and like we have the best wrestling in the world, especially after that god awful match with Baron Corbin. The only match I watched from that show, because I was like, I just got to see the main
anything.
Event of this show.
I
don't blame you. No, I just watched that
goddamn thing.
I heard Ricochet and Joe was a good match, but then like people are like, oh, that was a really good match. Like, what other wrestling do you watch every week, dude? Do you watch other shit? Because I feel like you don't. Because if you did, you would see that this is probably not. I've never seen it, but I mean, there's no way it's like a blowaway fucking match, man.
No,
come on.
In WWE, you can't really. You're not given the restraints to do that.
When is the last match in WWE? Here's a good question that you were like, "Fuck yeah, this is like 5 stars, great match."
It would have to be. It's not it's to do a story. The last match that the WWE did that really got me pumped would be probably outside of NXT, Punk and Cena at Money in the Bank. Just because of the story around it. That was in 2011? 12?
Okay. Well, 13, there you go.
Maybe?
Yeah. But yeah, story-wise, but I'm saying like a great fucking, you know, would you say that's a 5-star match?
No. Oh, no. It was a great story. But the match itself really brings it. The story makes the match better, not vice versa. You know what I mean? How like a lot of times in today's day and age, the match itself makes the story a bit better because there's not really much story and there's a lot of match. Where in this case, the story itself around it really played well with the match, and it kind of made the match better than what it was.
I'd be hard pressed to name one, honestly, because like a 5-star kick ass, like holy fuck, this is a great match. Like the matches we see come out of Japan once a month, twice a month.
Well,
you know? Well, maybe not that much, but
at
you know
that point in time too, you're taking two completely different styles. You can't compare New Japan and WWE together. It's not possible. It's like comparing limes to lemons.
A great match, then
But there's many different instances of great match though. You can have a great match and not have a Japanese kill yourself style. Like if you look at Rock and Austin from WrestleMania 17, I would put that as a 5-star match. I thought it was a great story. It had good work. It told everything you needed to do. Or maybe 18, was it?
WrestleMania fucking, yeah, dude. Look what year we're talking
17,
about.
17, which is what, 2000, 2001. So that one there, I could say for 100% sure, that is definitely a 5-star match, in my opinion. I can't think of anything else between now
really
and then.
Really had to go back like 18 years.
To something that really encapsulated me. Like, a lot of people give props to like Edge and Batista. I was never a fan of that. When it comes to John Cena, I was never a fan of that. So like that whole era is just lost beyond me. I will say I was a big fan of Hunter and Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, that one match where Shawn Michaels was the guest referee.
I guess it'd be that Undertaker-Shawn Michaels match. That was a fucking really good match.
Yeah. So
that's probably a 5-star match.
But I think that might be before CM Punk and Cena.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
Either way,
it's been
either way,
years.
When somebody says, like, go watch Ricochet versus Joe, it's a great match, like, it's not probably.
No.
I mean, it's probably good and shit, but like. Oh, dude, we got to talk about this. WWE will be airing Evolve's 10th anniversary show up against Fight for the Fallen.
Yes. Yes.
On the network.
Yeah. That seems like a very, very desperate move to try to combat a foe. Especially like, if you want to be super dirty. You'd be like, they're trying to interfere with a charitied event.
Oh, dude. Because
this is what this
like,
Fight for the Fallen is. It's a charity event. They're like, fuck
you think
your
Vince
charity
gives
event.
A fuck, dude?
No, of course not. Of course not. He don't give a shit.
Show takes place July 13th. These shows do. The date of the first Progress show was in January of 2010.
The date of the
Evolve
first,
1 was January 11th, 2010. And I tweeted that, and then some one person was like, oh, they're going off Dragon Gate. Okay, well, then that's not the Evolve 10th anniversary. It's not even the right fucking year for it. And you're going to include Dragon Gate USA? Evidently, that's the case. Somebody was really trying to fucking stretch for that.
Oh, wow. I remember when I first moved here to Grand Prairie, and I seen a company that had its 25th anniversary sign up, and they had their established date, and it was the 24th year. And it's like, you such stupid sons of bitches.
That was great. I had a real fucking awesome tweet on this. It was just those two facts, that Evolve will be on the 10th anniversary will be on the network against Fight for the Fallen, and the date of the first show was, you know, January 10th, 2011, or January 11th, whatever. Just 100% facts, and yeah. Still people were, like, mad and arguing and shit. It's like, yeah. Oh, I love it. Because it's not even a debatable thing.
No,
there was zero opinion in this. It was 100% factual, you know? No slant, no anything. Nope. Fucking hilarious.
Hey, man, people like to make their own narrative. Like that guy said, not on my TV.
Yeah, not on my TV, dude. goddamn. What else we got on this show, man? The matches are all just like NXT Championship match, Cole versus Tozawa, which, dude, should be pretty cool.
Of course. Of course.
Matt Riddle versus Drew Gulak, Catch Point reunion match. I don't know what that means. Future is Now showcase, Josh Briggs versus Anthony Green. So they got some of their guys in there. But, I mean, it's just basically a WWE Ross show, too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it. I got other things to do that night.
I think they're sending the production over there. I fucking bet they are.
They might send the NXT production. I don't know.
You think they send some? I bet they send some people. I'll be interested to see if it's going to be the standard Evolve event or if it's going to be, like, WWE slick cameras. I bet it will be,
know.
Dude.
I don't know. Honestly, I would hope so. It would make it look a little bit better.
Yeah, so I'll just watch that the next day. So,
oh, I mean, I'll watch bits and pieces of it for sure.
Although Fight for the Fall and the card for that is like, not that great.
Well, like, there's only a couple matches announced so far, right? You got Brandy and Allie, which I hope is on the pre-show.
It's gonna be terrible.
It's
dude.
Gonna be absolutely abysmal. Kenny Omega and Cena, and then you got Cody and Dustin against the Young Bucks.
That's the best match on the show.
Probably, but we don't know what else is there, right? We could get MJF and Hangman.
I don't see him doing that on that small show.
And they might not, but who knows? Who knows? They got to do something. They got to get 2 hours somewhere. So,
LAX's contracts are about to expire here in the summer with Impact. They have a match coming up this Sunday at Slammiversary defending the tag belts. Hopefully they lose them as a sign of their way, you know, that they're leaving and going hopefully to AEW, because think of all the matches we get there. You get LAX versus Bucks versus Best Friends, Lucha Bros, which we had before, but it's the tits and I'll watch it again.
Yeah, you know? The only problem with that comes is at what point in time do you have too many tag teams?
Hell no, fucking.
Well, you can't overinflate your roster, though. You only got 2 hours of TV a week.
Yeah, but you have to have. I mean, how many teams you got to have?
Well, who do they have now? There's the Young Bucks. You've got, let's say, Dustin and Cody, just in case.
We'll just
leave them out of it. And Helico and Jack Evans.
Yeah.
So you got Best Friends, Dark Order. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
And Private Party.
Yeah, SCU.
That's seven tag teams right now.
Mm.
Right? And then you got the running rumor of the Revival, who at some point in time will show up, I'm sure, unless they're given, like, some monumental fucking money deal. And then LAX, that's if I were to do it, that would be the last two tag teams I would put in there for the time being. I wouldn't hire anybody else until that is sorted out. You know what I mean? And then we'll go for it from there. But I would like to see LAX in the mix with all those guys. 100%.
Yeah, dude. What do you want to re-sign with Impact?
No.
And then the other interested party is WWE. It's WWE and AEW.
Yeah, and WWE just wants to shove them in NXT for years.
Yeah. The Latin American experience, dude. It's almost right.
Oh, fuck me. Lay.
Yeah. Oh my god. I mean, if it's even How much less money would you take from AEW than WWE to go there?
As long as I can live, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, if I
would, WWE would be, by all accounts, is like not an enjoyable place to be.
No, of course not. You're on the road. Not if you want to actually like
create and do and, you know,
have a life.
If you just want to get paid and shit.
Like, it's one of those things where like WWE could offer me millions. If AEW offered me $100,000, I'd be like, okay.
Mike Bennett, we talked about this last week, how he resigned, and I was like, dude, if he resigned, that's fine. You better shut the fuck up. And he has not shut the fuck up.
No. I know.
God damn it. Ridiculous. I used to like that dude. I used to be like, you know, whatever. I get it. But like now I'm just, dude, that's it.
Like you said last week, it's that guy that bitches about his girlfriend, then you find out they're getting engaged. So it's like...
Yeah. Let's see. WWE no longer has... Did we talk about that last week?
No, or is this a new thing? Commercial breaks?
Where they just have, like, every match, 2 out of 3 falls and shit?
It just cements the fact that I'll never watch weekly WWE television again.
It's fucking unbelievable, dude. I can't even begin. And, like, they stop matches. So if you're there, the matches, like, there's no matches between. It's just people come out and talk and shit. Like, going to Raw was terrible before, but now, holy fuck.
Yeah, we're going to look back on this time. If this Earth is still around in 20 years, we'll look back at this time and just marvel in the fact that WWE thought it was a good idea to have a show full of 2 out of 3 falls matches so they wouldn't work through commercials. Through all these years, the last 20, 30 years of working through commercials, and now all of a sudden it's a problem?
All people asked was like, hey, how about you don't fucking go to commercial for the comeback?
Yeah.
You know? Like, just do commercials in a logical place, you know? And, of course, that their reaction is just to go completely the other way. Yeah. Well, we just won't do it then. I can't, man.
It's the worst girlfriend you ever had. She'll take everything you said, and she'll turn it to the nth degree and make it your fault. That's it.
Extreme Rules is like a week or 2 weeks or something. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give. Have you seen the card for that? Like, that's another WWE show I'm probably going to skip. Like,
fuck it.
Really, though, it's absolute garbage. Like, at least a year ago, the main shows were okay. Like, if you watched the network shows, you had a half of a show to grasp onto that was somewhat decent. Now, whew, man.
Yeah. Do you have any other news?
No. No, we've blown through the news, and I feel like even if I did have more news right now, I'd probably say no as well, because we are 2 hours into this show.
Yeah. Well, let's keep this shit moving with a little bit of Mark Tank.
After these sponsors.
The Nintendo World News with Mario.
We go direct to the ringside at the WWF WrestleMania Challenge. Ready, kid?
Just watch me whip the Macho Man.
And here he comes, 250 pounds of lean, mean muscle.
What a leg drop! Wow!
An elbow smash!
And a body slam!
Let's see that again. Is that the end of the Macho Man?
No way. I want a rematch.
It's what a horrible Macho Man. WWF WrestleMania Challenge.
Nintendo!
I'm back! There's a guy that pays his last $20 on crack cocaine. Omar is a guy that believes that OJ did do it. And Omar is each and every one of you sorry son of a fucking bitches.
Missed my goddamn commercial cue.
That's okay. I get it.
Motherfucker. Oh, man. We've got some shit this week. It's a mixed bag. It's about all kinds of shit. So, yeah, let's see what we got. Okay. This is Cody. Dude, we got to start with Cody Collier, man. He's here every week. He's here every week. There was some article about, you know, I was about these Rollins and Ospreay shit. And he responds by saying, yep, Ospreay is great, but Shane is better. And talking about Shane McMahon.
What?
B-Swing 22, man. He sent that over to us. He listens to the show. He's just like, fucking moron. I try not to be an asshole to people on social media, but sometimes when people do shit, it's just like, dude, can't forgive this. Let's see. Cody Collier, again. No, he was talking about Ambrose. He was defending Seth Rollins shitting on his so-called friend. No, he didn't. Ambrose was WWE champion. Ambrose was booked to perfection more often than not. He wasn't as good as Seth and Roman. As simple as that. I like Dean slash John, but I like how WWE booked him 99.9% of the time. He's the weak link of the Shield.
Piss in your face.
What a fucking... That's a hot take right there.
This kid is like the worst fucking tweets ever.
Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, he probably can't read. He probably can't see because his eyes are too fucking far apart.
He can read, obviously. And if you do run into the guy, don't be a prick to him, you know?
No, like, there's no need to be a prick to him. Don't make fun of his eyes being far apart. That's just me.
It's just, well, we do it on the show. It's a different thing of, like, reading what you said and laughing at it, you know, versus, like, attacking you or, you know what I'm saying? I don't do that shit because, you know, we're all brothers under the sun, even if some of us aren't as smart as the other ones, you know?
And some of us just have further apart eyes than the other.
Yeah, well, you know, and some of us can see what's happening to the left and the right at the same time.
Some of us see straight ahead. That's just life, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, he's got some other good ones here. This one's great.
Oh, Jesus Christ, are you serious?
WWE TV is the best it's ever been. It isn't lazy. Alexa is the best option since she's championship material and everyone else is feuding for the most part. If it was lazy, they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, no, because I've never not done anything because it's the lazy way out ever. No.
Like, I get people being like, you know, I like WWE. I guess I understand that. But, like, to say that it's the best, the TV is the best it's ever been. Like, I don't even, how do you even come to such a conclusion?
Well, I mean, I know exactly how you come to some conclusion. The modern day WWE is all you've ever watched.
Yeah, but this is worse than it was a year ago, which is worse than it was a year ago.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. You're right.
This is the, like, the all-time low, isn't it?
I would say. I've never, well, you know what? Let me say this. The Raws in 96 that we're doing right now are the worst wrestling I may have ever seen in my life.
Wrestling, but like...
No, the whole thing. The whole thing. It's at this point in time, Raw is still only 45 minutes. They haven't went from Raw to Warzone. Literally, it's just squash matches still. There's barely any story told in it, and it's not very good.
People liken this to 95, you know, and rightfully so. 95 sucked, but like 95 was more entertaining because, like, a dude came out and played guitar solos in the ring, you know, before his match, or a dude wore a giant like fucking buffalo head on his head, you know.
If you want to claim that Mantar was a good part of the an entertaining part of WWE, dude, go for it. I'm backing away from this one though.
More entertaining than what's happening right now. In like a stupid way, obviously, but like going back and shit, like, you know, having an evil dentist or a fucking garbage man and shit,
fake,
like, it's
diesel,
something.
Fake razor.
Like, what is Raw right now? It's like, it's nothing. What is anybody? You know, it's like, I don't know, I'd rather watch fucking shit from 95 than right now.
That's fair.
It's terrible,
that's
but
fair.
At least it's in like a so bad it's good.
Well, I mean, at least you got an hour versus three.
I'd watch three of those before I'd watch a modern Raw. Just saying.
I should get you on the next Federation on Shuffle there.
Yeah.
To talk about fucking 1996 Raws. See how you like it.
The Baron Corbin thing, as we were talking about earlier, he's the best heel, according to these people. Joe Marlowe, House Show Joe, says, I don't know about the best, but he's pretty good. He's got Miz heat. People genuinely dislike him and want to root against him instead of heels that are liked more than some faces, like KO or Joe. Taking care of guys in the ring is a big deal. 10 years from now, he'll be a cornerstone of WWE. Yeah, Baron Corbin, dude. He's a great heel.
Wow. Miz Heat. Pretty sure yeah. Miz Heat is the same as X-Pac Heat.
You guys gotta check but, this dude up.
He's
this
got guy Miz on, Heat.
This guy on Twitter, Israel Carbuckle. Holy fuck, man. This guy, I don't know, he's like the ultimate Lacey Evans stan.
Oh.
Did you see that shit? Like Chico was here, sent it over, listening to him. Shout out to him. But like this guy gets pissed, you know? He's like, keep running your fucking mouth about Lacey.
Now, this is where I draw the line, though. Because obviously he's mentally handicapped. Obviously.
No, he's not.
Oh, of course he is. Nobody's this blind without being mentally handicapped, in my opinion.
Look at him. I mean, he doesn't look fucking...
Just because he looks... I've met many people that look normal, but were fucked. Completely fucked. Like, I'm a cunt hair away, Jim, from being fucked myself. Like, give me a break.
He's like, she fucking follows me. She does follow him, by the way. He's like, this guy is one of the, like... 350 people she follows. I have no idea. He's pictures him and a teacher. I suppose if he stands you like every fucking day constantly,
you just gotta do like, it.
God, check that guy out though.
I got tagged in one of the things and I read through the conversations like I'm not touching this with a 5-foot pole.
Yeah, I see where he tagged you. But yeah, it's like, you know, Chico was here. He got a fucking, you know, he got a bite and he just fucking reeled this kid in. It was great.
Oh, he did. Like I applaud his ability to fucking reel in a big fish. But like I truly believe he's mentally handicapped. He's lacking somewhere.
What I do with Cody Collier, I'll fucking like, oh yeah, tell me what the best women's wrestlings were, you know, matches were of all time. I'm, you know, like, I'll just reel that bitch in. At one point, the guy says, I don't have time for this negativity shit for the last fucking time. Remove yourself from my fucking account. Like, what? And then he blocked him. So, you know, this guy will probably be back on the show because he's a fucking gem.
I found it. Yeah, Israel Carbuckle 3.
Does he have any recent ones in there that are like live editions?
I'll never forget the end of that 7-on-2 match with the squad locked in the cage and a knocked out Vince McMahon cuddling with Mitch. I think he's talking about Spirit Squad. See, this guy will never forget Spirit Squad. He also has a fascination with Melina. He said, this week in wrestling, Rhea Melina had her very first pay-per-view feud with Tori Wilson at Great American Bash.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, that picture is like with that Lacey Evans shirt on, too.
What?
His profile picture, he's wearing a Lacey Evans shirt. I guess they make those.
And if you look at his Twitter profile, you know how it shows you all the photos you've posted?
Yeah.
It's literally 6 of the exact same photo. It is of Lacey Evans with a Air Jordan symbol, and it said Off-White. He says, my lady has sneakers now. I don't know if he... Does he really think Lacey Evans has her own brand of Air Jordans? Like, does he really believe... See, that's why he's mentally handicapped. Like, he can't even look at this stupid picture and not believe that Lacey Evans doesn't have Air Jordans. Like, who in the world has their own Air Jordans? They're celebrities, not Lacey Evans. This guy's missing 6 of his fucking 6-pack, man. He really is.
Doesn't go to the top floor.
No, it definitely doesn't. He beats off out of his window at night, 100%. Dropping fucking knuckle children onto the ground like fucking comets.
Yeah. Man, that is some good shit. Let's see what else. I should have been doing this while I was...
Like, literally, the picture is posted 6 times because he's trying to get people to tell him where he can get these shoes. Nobody's telling him because guess what? Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to send you a picture of these fucking shoes.
All right. Well,
I've got to.
We'll do that. Charles Jonas, it's a WWE Stomping Ground match, was great. WWE forever. Ignore AEW titsuckers.
I've sent it to you through Facebook. Now, this guy actually believes that these are real shoes. If they're real shoes, I'm sorry. But, like, literally, the shoelace has shoelaces in quotations written on them.
I mean, they're, like, custom made by someone. I don't know. That's terrible, yeah.
It is. It is. It's absolutely terrible.
Oh, art. It's art by LNG, yeah. Why is it called Off-White?
I don't know, man.
That racist already, that racist. That gimmick comes off as racist to me anyway. She reminds me of like a fucking plantation owner.
Of course.
100%. It's even more perplexing that this guy likes her.
Yes, well, it's because he probably has no idea about his culture, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy that fucking says that, but I mean.
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Those shoes are ugly, too. let's see. Jeffrey Nepal. Becky Lynch going to show up and help his boyfriend, Seth Rollins, to retain his Universal Championship. Daniel Margie, that's so stupid. And a waste of time. Baron should have lost when he hit Rollins the first time with a chair. She had no business being the special referee, and I agreed with the crowds. This was stupid and boring. Evan should be fired.
He's dying. He's dead. Jim. I think Mean Gene has something to say to you.
Put that cigarette out.
She should be fired for her actions on Raw tomorrow.
That's fair.
Oh, man. Jacqueline Gardley, you know what, WWE? I would like to file a complaint. A complaint on the WWE fans. Honestly, this was the best pay-per-view of the year so far. Every one of the wrestlers put in work tonight and went all out for a good show. And then what happened? People showed so much disrespect, especially in the crowd for the main event. About, what, 3,000-4,000 people in a place that holds like 17,000-18,000?
I mean, at least it's not going to be overtly warm.
Yeah. There ain't room to spread out. You can sit wherever. I'd be stoked on that.
I would too, honestly.
Go into it, I'd be like, oh, sweet, I'm not going to have to sit next to some random fucking person.
It's like when you get on an airplane, you really hope nobody sits next to you.
Sean Martin, well, AEW fanboys, AEW fanboys, were you amazed Stomping Grounds was good and had some unexpected moments? Let's see All Out top this.
Oh, wow. So, I'm still on Israel Carbuckle's page.
Yeah.
And he sends out a tweet 5 hours ago. This guy tweets nonstop. Like, he's constantly tweeting.
So does Cody Collier, man. It's like, some people kind of send them over to me because, like, I was like, oh, I'm going
to
go search for some.
But you can't
because they tweet, like, 500 things a day.
Yeah. Know? Like, what do I wear for my podiatry appointment today? It's just a picture of this fucking Lacey Evans shirt. Just like, you fucking loser. Jesus Christ, man. Why don't you just let everybody in the world know you never get laid?
Yeah.
Even your podiatrist. Fuck.
I did have a bunch of shit, you know, from Rollins. I was just gonna add him, but we've all read those, so. Oh, man. That shit he had with Ospreay this week was so fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. No, it really was. I would be embarrassed.
All right, dude. So, yeah, that Lacey had to follow him. Otherwise, she could have faced the wrath. like this one here. Becky Zero. Oh, she changed her name to at Becky Zero Belts. Her name used to be
Becky
Two
Belts or whatever.
Yeah. Just deleted all my tweets since I praised Becky Lynch WWE because she doesn't deserve my love. She wants to give recognition to a fan that was here for 4 months when I was here from the start. Just because she has no life and is on Twitter 24/7. Well, time to expose her. And then I have 17 Becky shirts. Do they have 17 Becky shirts, really?
I'm sure they probably do in different
that's
colors.
WWE. I have 17 Becky shirts, and they're all being burnt. This bandwagon fan who only started to like you at Rumble 2019 gets love when I followed you for 5 years, and I get not even a like. You lost not only me, but about 20 others who messaged me their hate for you now.
Yeah. No, I seen that one earlier in the week. I think I retweeted it at one point in time, just how fucking Just like, that's the scary thing, man, about fucking being a celebrity. It you is. Get these fucking crazy-ass motherfuckers coming at you all the time.
Yeah, dude. That is scary. So there you go, Mark Tank. Holy shit. Fun.
I mean, I didn't
know
that was the last Mark Tank. I would have played our bit, but I guess it's too late now.
Oh, it doesn't matter, dude. let's listen to these things we've got here.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. Who should we go with first? We've got two.
I don't know, Ravishing Dick Root. I think he's talking about Heyman and Bischoff. I haven't listened to it, but I believe that's what it is.
So let's go with that one here.
What is the deal, guys? It is your boy, Ravishing Dick Fudge. Here once again to fuck all your wives, long dick style.
Long dick style.
And thick short dick style. Dick and yes, you heard that
no,
right.
No, no, no.
Ravishing
Hold on,
Dick
Ravishing
Fudge,
Dick Root.
AKA
you're Fudge now. Short
fudge
dick style.
Number five Just is saying. Here to fuck all your wives, long dick and thick dick style. Anyways, let's get to it, man. Let's get straight fucking to it because we don't have time to waste. Well, I don't have time to waste. I got like 2 fucking minutes here. Damn. Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea? Who? Oh, Vince.
Good
Vince
shit,
and company. I wonder, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, Triple H is pissed. Stephanie is livid. And Kevin Dunn is on his last leg. You know what I mean? And I'm saying to myself, why didn't they put Tommy Dreamer in Eric Bischoff's position? Let's stop acting like Paul Heyman is solely responsible for all of ECW's success, for Christ's sake. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had plenty of creative help from fucking Tommy Dreamer and company. You know?
Tommy's an impact.
To me, I'm a Paul Heyman guy, but he's quite overhyped. You know? And I know this is going to sound crazy, considering how AEW has, you know, Dustin Reynolds and a couple other fucking old heads over there, but, you know, like Arn Anderson and shit like that. But those are guys who are actually still creative. You understand? They're old relics, but they're not old relics like Eric Bischoff old relic, because that motherfucker is literally responsible for the tanking of WCW. Let's not blame Vince Russo, because that company was tanking way before that. And he's responsible for pretty much damn near killing fucking TNA. Well, TNA is dead, but you know what I mean. fuck this. Pretty much fuck this. People, go watch AEW, go watch New Japan, stay away from ROH because you might catch fucking a disease watching that fucking show, because Matt Taven is still champion and, well, at the time of this recording anyways. No thank you. Yeah, fuck all of this, pretty much. Fuck all of it. Just fuck it all. You know what I'm saying? At this point, we're basically just putting glues on the back of fucking guys and throwing them against brick walls and hoping that they fucking stick at this goddamn point. That's what the fuck we're doing here. Okay? And let's be real here. Let's keep it G here, man. Let's keep it fucking gangster here, man. We already know that's just not going to work. How long before Bully Ray is on the creative fucking team of WWE? Because he was he was referenced by who? Eric Bischoff or somebody? Yeah, we know it's going to happen. Let's fucking stop. This shit is a fucking joke.
ROH.
Somebody kill WWE so we can all be put out of our fucking miseries. I hope AEW just puts these motherfuckers out of business. I'm done with WWE. Fuck this shit.
There you go. Fuck this shit is right.
Oh boy, Ravishing Dick Fudge. I pop hard for that. That's great.
No,
I love ever since I became Todd Fudge, like everyone's doing.
We've got Corey Gold Fudge. We've got Jay Fudge. I don't know their real names.
JD's fucking turned into Tyson Fudge.
Tyson Fudge. Yes, Tyson Fudge. We've got Todd Fudge. We've got Dick Fudge.
I think we need to see some Twitters for some of these fudges, man.
What I will say, though, is Mr. Ravishing Dick Fudge, you are now a fudge now. I don't know if you could hear it in before, but you cannot go with thick dick style. You're now short dick style.
Short dick style and thin dick style.
Fuck. Get it right.
Much
next
love,
time.
Much love to that guy. Yeah. Fucking cracks me up, and still, dude, better catchphrase than anybody in WWE.
Dude, it is. And me and him had a brief, fun little conversation with WWF Warzone, because that's something I forgot to mention. Darby Allin's pants—it looked like a created character from Warzone.
He did look like one. In general, the whole thing.
Yeah. So if you ever played Warzone, you'll know that like all the pants were skin tight, all the shirts were skin tight. if you wore a shirt on top of another shirt, it just looked like one shirt. It was garbage.
All the shirts on there look like the fucking shirts the Hardy Boys used to wear when they were with Michael Hayes, and he'd wear a matching shirt, like he was going to get his picture taken with his sons, JCPenney or something. It's real cool, y'all. We got the same fucking weird tight neck fucking shirt. I don't know what those things are.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, good shit. Much love though to Dick Rude. And dude, I guess I forgot to bring that up. Like, yeah, what do you think here? Like, is Triple H pissed at this? Is he in on this?
I don't think he is, honestly.
They just like went over him and like, oh fuck him, we're just gonna do this.
Well, I think Triple H is being saved when Vince is no longer around. Let's not deter Triple H out of the position until Vince is no longer there, because there's no point of having Triple H there.
If McMahon leaves, there's no way he keeps fucking Bischoff. I don't know about Heyman, probably, maybe, but definitely not Bischoff.
I think you got Triple H with enough shit on his plate with NXT and shit like that, so leave that alone. Let him keep on doing that until he's hiccups on the main roster.
I don't know, dude. To me, it seems like he's got people who can take over the NXT shit. NXT doesn't take a lot, you know, from the position he was in. To me, he should have took over one of these shows. I don't think he's some savior or anything, but
what's the point of him taking over the show if Vince is just going to kibosh everything? You know what I mean?
Maybe he just like, nah, fuck that, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Because
he knows. I mean, yeah, good point. Let's check in with Viva La JD from the Smack It Down podcast.
Hey, Tolfa, what did you think of the friggin' Southern Showdown?
It was good, but the main event was fine at best.
You're absolutely right. You can't top Osprey Eagles, especially in Australia here. By the way, what's up, guys? It's your boy, J Silver, here with DJ Tolpa.
Hey.
We just went to Southern Showdown. We thought the show was good. We're trying to work out if it was as good as last year's show, though. My God, that's an albino possum.
Holy shit. Is it a possum or a cat?
I don't know.
I don't know. We have to find out in a second.
Australia, scratch it out. It was just a damn white cat. It looked like a freaky albino possum, though.
How drunk is he?
It is. See, we would have enjoyed the show a hell of a lot more if we had decent seats, because there was this tall prick sitting in front of us that made it.
What the fuck? Did you listen to this before you sent it?
No, I did.
I mean him.
Over to a
big rat.
Oh my God, that is a big rat.
So,
dude, walking through the Melbourne CBD.
I'm gonna slowly fade this out because it's unlistenable.
Yeah, we love you, and it wasn't that long. We would have played it, but I couldn't hear a fucking word.
Yeah, it's very, very, a lot of wind, sir. But yeah, no, the New Japan show was not great.
Just tune in to Smack It Down. You'll hear those boys.
I'm sure you will.
Fucking take, and it'll probably be less wind.
I hope.
Yeah, right. No, it'll definitely be less wind. I give you 100% guarantee.
Yeah.
So, Federation, what's going down?
We will be releasing this weekend. It would be the, what is it? Oh my God. WWF Buried Alive 1996. So, that's like the only good match on that show, really, is Undertaker and Mankind. It was a hard watch. It really was. It's not easy. WWF 1996 is horribly bad on the mid card and undercard. Main events are okay. It's the exact opposite on Nitro. This week though, we had Halloween Havoc 1996, baby.
Hmm.
Beautiful show.
Fuck yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah.
So there you go. Check that out. Everywhere podcasts are found. MoFudge.com. If you like this show and you don't listen to the Federation, I don't know what you're doing with your life, man.
If you're a fucking savage is what you are.
On the SCL Network side of things, pay-per-view take two, Victory Road 2009 is up everywhere. We'll be continuing that. We're recording it this week, the next show. So we're going to work with our rebooking from last time into the rebooking. I don't know how we're going to do it. Jared doesn't smoke weed, so it's up to him to figure out. So that's coming soon to the channel. Also, They Live for Horror will be out Wednesday next week. So keep an eye out for that. Should subscribe so you get all these episodes fucking when they come out. So,
yeah, boy.
So, yeah, let's look forward to seeing you here. Next week, we've got, I guess we'll preview that Impact show, maybe.
I'm sure nothing else big is going to really happen.
Yeah, we got New Japan coming up this weekend as well. There's some good fucking matches on these shows, too. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week. But do you have anything else to add this week?
No. Wind is your enemy.
Yeah. Wind is the enemy. I want to give shout-outs to all of our friends, our podcasting brothers. In Search of My Lost Soul, hosted by our boy, Bobby Anthem. Wrestling Overdose, that's Shaheen's new show from THT Podcast. Check that shit out. He's got a new episode up now. Also, Nuclear Heat Graphics. Check out all that over there. Pro Wrestling Horror and custom artwork. You can frame it, hang it on your wall. It is art. Get in the corner. Inhuman Experience, Shooting the Shiznit, Strap, Wrestling's High Marks, Regularly Scheduled Hostility, Comedy Suplex, all y'all motherfuckers. Review of Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
All right.
It is fucking awesome, in short. If you are a fan of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, then you will like this game. Dude from there, you played that game on PS1?
I've played a Castlevania game, not the one on PS1, though.
Goddamn, it's fucking awesome. Anyway, this dude wanted to do a remake of it. Konami, who owns Castlevania, he worked there, and they were like, no, fuck you. So he left, and he crowdfunded it. 4 years later, here we are.
Oh, I know the game you're talking about. Yeah, I've heard about this.
Yeah. It's basically the spiritual successor to Symphony of the Night, one of the best games of all time. It's fucking awesome. If you like that, you'll love this. You should play it. I want to play it right now. So
then so you shall, sir. So you shall, because this show is nipped in the bud. It's done.
Yeah, it's fat. So that's it. Fuck you. That's it. Oh, and how I hurt my back. Quick, before we go. I was not thinking, hey, I could watch this on Bleacher Report on my Xbox, because I thought it was an app. So I hooked my laptop up to my TV, and as I was bending around to plug an HDMI cable, I threw my back out. And I spent all of Sunday in bed. I couldn't even fucking walk. I couldn't even, like, hardly grab my dick to piss. Forget about wiping my ass, dude. I'm not even going to tell you how I did that shit.
Miss Vicious got down dirty, baby.
No. No, dude. I'm just going to tell you this. I'll tell you this from... I thought about it before, but I think I'm going to adopt it. If you have back problems, like I think I'm just going to take Pepto-Bismol when I get it, so I won't have to shit for a couple of days.
Just harden up
while
shit.
My back is up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And if you do hurt your back and find yourself in a situation where you can't wipe your ass, try laying down. You probably will be able to. That's no tip right there, dude.
Lay
Have
down
you ever hurt
your
back
your
so bad you can't wipe your ass?
No, honestly. I don't think so. Like, I have. I remember in grade 6, I was playing hockey, and I was a goalie, and I was a part of a pileup. And once I got up, I couldn't move. So, like, that was I would lay down on the ground, and I couldn't get up. That was the worst time I ever hurt my back. I was in
You're
grade
younger
6.
Younger than me, though. Just wait till you start getting up to 40, close to 40. There's people, and like, it kind of got into all these people on Twitter talking about, like, so I don't forget who it was. Shout out to him, but he's talking about, like, I could throw my back out taking a shit and be crippled for a week. You know? It's true. Or you, like, people throw their back out sneezing, then they can't walk for days.
Yeah.
And then you got fucking Darby Allin taking trust falls on the corner of the apron. I have no fucking idea. How does this guy go out there and do that? I fucking throw my back out bending over to plug an HDMI cord. Then only to figure out after the fact that I could just watch it on Xbox. So I did.
Damn. Fuck. I ended up getting a VPN and watching it through Bleacher Report because I wanted to figure out how Bleacher Report worked. I wanted to know if there was any troubles with Bleacher Report, and I also wanted it for free. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good feed. I didn't really have any problems.
I had zero problems. Like, we got it connected on one computer, and we tried to get it on my laptop so we could watch it when we went for smokes. But we couldn't get it to work on the laptop, so we just did an illegal stream on the laptop. But, I mean, all's good in the world.
It was free any fucking way.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. That'll do it for this week. I don't think we forgot anything. If we did, you know.
Oh, well. Because we are already at 2 hours and 15 minutes, so.
Yeah. That's it. So, yeah, next week we'll be back. We'll do this shit all over again. We'll look at New Japan and Impact and who knows what else, Extreme Rules. We'll come back and see the revolutionary changes that are happening in WWE.
And I'll be there to say, I told you so.
I fucking told you so. So until then, may you get all the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you. And most importantly, be excellent to each other.
Back up in your ass with the resurrection. Is the group harder than an erection that shows no affection? They want to ban us on Capitol Hill. Because it's die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers.
All along it was a ghetto. Nothing but the ghetto. Taking short steps, 1 foot at a time. And kept my head low. And never let go. Because if I let go, then I'll be spineless. I'm going insane.
I think my mind just goes out of control. And touch on subjects motherfuckers read about. I touch on the shit that they be leaving out. I've seen this motherfucker. I seen the same nigga with the nine dying with his eyes open. And simply what this means is, he didn't know that every dog had his day until he seen his. I bet you motherfuckers will too, because it's time, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, still fool. Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, still fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, still fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, still fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker.
I think it's something in the water, man. It's got me in the water.
Oh, fuck. Chuck's on a killing spree again. We're guillotine for men. I walk around town with a frown on my face. Fuck the whole world. Gonna catch a murder case. The murder rate.
Make increase if you caught up in the world while it's dying. I guarantee you fright. Cause I on the verge of knocking motherfuckers out for no reason. Once I get down, there'll be no breathing. It seems when motherfuckers wanna calm down, put his palm down. Seems like I still lay the law down. Now it's all right. What you wanna do? I'm asking you. Stuck to face, I'll break your ass in two. Bastard, you. Now just swim in some fucking hot tar. Before you fuck with Willie D, cause what I got for your ass will make this shit your meal. Cause it's die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers. How many niggas wanna ride tonight? Pick out our victims when the time is right. We get they ass up off the corner cause they die tonight. For sure, niggas be all up in my mug. But it's a different story when the motherfuckers coughing up blood.
Look him in his eye, bossy ass.
I bust another cap in his ass and he died. Time and spot.
Niggas be shooting the gift like they for real. But when it jumps, they ain't got no murder skills. So Bill just chops them down, watch them fall. And cut they ass head to toe, jaw to jaw.
Your cat, cause this is
die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, kill. Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker,
steal. Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal fool.
Die, motherfucker, die, motherfucker, steal.
On the motherfucking one, we getting shit done, you know what I'm saying? Ghetto Boys, 1996, the year 2000 and forever. And the shit don't stop until I say it's over with, motherfucker. Okay?
This is Ghetto Boys for life.